Good morning, I'm Nate Putterball, your sports update. The NBA draft was last night, and with the first overall pick, the Wizards took BYU's A.J. DeBanza. Kansas's Darren Peterson didn't wait long, going number 2 to the Jazz. The Cleveland Cavaliers selected UConn's Alex Caravan at number 29. The Cincinnati Reds fell at home last night 2-0 to the Brewers. Milwaukee's Brandon Sprout had a career-high 10 strikeouts. They'll square off again today at 7-10. The Cleveland Guardians have fallen a game behind the White Sox at the AL Central after dropping their game in Chicago 2-1. They'll continue that series this afternoon at 2:10. Busy World Cup action today sees Bosnia Herzegovina take on Qatar, Canada versus Switzerland, Haiti square off with Morocco, Brazil and Scotland, South Korea versus South Africa, and Mexico taking on Chechnya. This update brought to us by Ramos Roofing. Request your free roof or exterior assessment today at RamosRoofingOhio.com. Ramos Roofing, reliable, local, built right. Bringing sports news and weapons to the fan, Ohio Sports Destination.
Breakfast time!
Hello, welcome to T-Bone and Tyvis. Can I take your order?
Just want a little breakfast.
Hey, you want some crabs? Because I got some of them.
Get ready to drive through the intersection of football, food, and fun.
Come on, Joe!
Featuring producer Dylan.
Who are the 5 best rappers of all time?
Special guests.
Are you serious?
And you. Wake up.
For what?
It's time for T-Bone and Tyvis.
Welcome in. Happy Wednesday to you. What's up? I'm T-Bone. He is Tyvis. Good morning, Tyvis. Go to hell. How are you?
Wagwan.
Wagwan. Indeed. It's an Ask Tyvis Wednesday. You can tweet us your questions for Tyvis at Bone and Tyvis 971 on Twitter, or go to YouTube, 971 The Fan. Click on T-Bone and Tyvis, and then you'll be in the chat. Join everybody in there. Get an early start to your morning in the chat. And yeah, get your questions in. We'll do that at 7:30. How'd it go yesterday? How's baby time treating you right now?
He's doing well. Again, as I walked out this morning, he started to like wake up a little bit.
Mm.
And I was like, because I try to be as quiet as possible as I'm getting dressed and trying to get about the house. And as I was shutting the door, I heard him like moving around and starting to scream a little bit. And I was like, oh, was that me?
Let me tell you right now. Yes, it was. 100%. Yes, of course it was you. Not through any fault of your own. I mean, you're getting up and moving around as you're accustomed to do.
Tip-toeing.
Yeah, of course. But I'm saying, like, babies can sense stuff like that.
I guess.
Are we still in the, like, bassinet stage, I presume? He's so little. He's still in the room, I'm guessing. Like,
yes.
Next to you, right, and you and mom, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So that makes sense. That's easiest way to do that. I forgot about this until now. I've been thinking about all the stuff that we, you know, had when we had kids.
Yeah, you gotta redo everything.
Isn't that the craziest part where you've done this twice?
Twice
now.
But you gotta relearn everything all over again, and it's.
I'm remembering the first time we took like any of our kids from the bassinet, little whatever thing, cradle thing in the room, to now they're going to sleep in a separate room.
Correct.
And the amount of like nerves the first time we did that,
yeah,
where it's like you had baby monitors. We had some like, we had a camera, but this is 15 years ago. My oldest is more than that. I mean, she's going to be 16 coming up here in September. Like the cameras then were, you know, they had like the giant like videotapes in them that you had to change out. Not really. I'm just saying, like, super old is what I'm saying. But like these cameras, we were so nervous because it looked like closed circuit television. It's just black and white, like you'd see on a surveillance camera at a gas station.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is how you're watching the biggest thing in your life, hopefully, like, be fine. But you're at every moment we kept waking back up and be like, ah, like,
well, it's different now because like, you got cameras, you got the owlet sock that we put on him, which
what's that?
That is the thing that like tells you his breathing and what he's doing in the night and stuff like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So like if something was to happen, like it would alert you. Like,
my gosh, that's great.
Yeah.
So it's like
my wife is actually like, she's being very extra cautious because this is the last one.
Yeah,
so
sure.
She's being like extra cautious and taking all these extra measures that she didn't do necessarily for the other two.
Well,
so yeah,
you got like advanced analytics.
So she loves this one more.
Yep, pretty much. You know right, that mate. that mother son relationship. Yeah, yep.
Yeah, that's good. Totally understood there. It's the father daughter relationship too. Same kind of thing, right? Where they just, you know,
wrapped around your finger. They've got you like wrapped around the finger.
I wouldn't say they got me wrapped around
the finger. Oh, they will. Don't worry.
I'm more lenient towards
that. That's what I'm saying. Right. Yeah. And that's probably how she'll be with them.
But that's not true. I feel like I'm more of an aggressor than my wife. Like, I feel like my wife let them get away with stuff more.
Oh, yeah? I thought you just said you were more lenient.
It depends on the situation.
Okay.
Like, I'm one of those that, like, I'll let, if you do something bad, like, I'll give you the warning.
Mm-hmm.
My wife would give you 5 warnings. But I'll give you a warning. If you do it again and I catch you, it's on.
Well, that means you're not more lenient. That means you are, like, more strict. So, see,
I'm strict, though.
What?
I'm saying that I'm strict.
You give a warning, and then it's like, all right, the warning happened, now it's over. If you're saying your wife gives like 5 warnings, that's different.
My kids got something called sense, where they're like, all right, if he gave me the warning this time, I'm not going to do it again.
Are you saying maybe you're a little later on before you'll give the warning? Like, you might let a little bit more go on before you say, hey, that's enough.
Right.
She might start off earlier and saying, knock it off. I'm really serious. And
correct.
Then you both get to the same point where you're like, okay, now it's punishment time.
Yes.
But you will let all that other stuff go before you give the verbal warning.
Correct.
I gotcha.
Because once I say something, like, that's it.
That's like referees, though. Right?
No.
I'm sure you had a referee at some point.
They give you the red card and they put it in your face.
I love that you found out about red cards yesterday. I was glad I could bring that knowledge to you. But no, like when you were playing football, did you have a ref that might say to like a corner who's very, let's say, hands-on, might say, hey, enough of that. Don't do it.
This is conversations that we're going to have before we even take a snap. I'm going to holler at you before the game. Like,
okay.
Let me know. Like, if I do this, that, and the third, how do you feel about that?
Yeah.
And he'll say, if it's a little hand fighting going on, I'm going to let y'all play. Or if it's, I don't know, if you extend the arm and all that, I'm calling it and all that. So it's like, you really got to test it.
But you had to have guys that you had those conversations. And then like first series of the game, something that you think is pretty much okay, they like whistle it and you're like, oh. That's where we're at today.
Not necessarily.
Like, no? Okay.
Because I kind of knew the rules.
Okay.
And I wasn't, I'm not egregious.
Oh, okay.
You got to, if you're going to grab the receiver, you got to be smooth with it. And that's the thing. So like, even when I was in Seattle as a rookie and I would go up against Doug or Jermaine Kearse, like they would tell you like, all right, this is what you got to do.
Yeah.
This is how you got to do it. You got to grab it low and it's got to be quick. It's a little quick tug. You can't hold it because if you hold it, the ref going to see it. You got to just quick tug. So, like, I knew these things going into the game. And when I tested it, I was like, oh, yeah, they was right about that.
I feel like I've watched, like, enough just in all different sports. I mean, I've been watching a lot of World Cup lately with soccer referees. I'll see it where it's, you know, you'll see a referee let a lot of stuff go. Mm-hmm. And then they blow a whistle for a foul. If you do that same thing again, he's given a yellow card. He's like, he's not messing around. But then I'll see other refs who blow the whistle 27 times, but they give out no yellow cards. And I'm like, well, if you don't want them to keep doing this, maybe punish them.
And like 2 yellow cards equals a red.
Yes, you get thrown out of the game if you get your second. So that's, but 1 yellow card usually is enough to get guys to be like, all right. Because then they don't want to get thrown out of the game. They don't want to miss the next game. That
I need
kind of
to
stuff.
See what this yellow card, what the results in a yellow card. Because I seen yesterday what results in a red. You just see what it results in the yellow.
Well, yellow is like, it can be persistent infringement is one of the terms they use. And what that means is like, you're a perpetual line stepper. You keep doing little things over and over and over. I've seen this before. The refs will do this. Every soccer fan has seen this. Referee will come up and point to a player. He will pull out he'll be reaching for the yellow card. And he will point to different parts of the field and he will go over there, over there, over there, over there, enough. And then he pulls out the yellow card and it's like, this wasn't because any one thing you did was super bad. You just did enough that now I'm saying I've seen enough. You're getting a accumulation of stupid yellow cards.
The yellow card is the equivalent of the idiot tax.
Yeah, it really is. It's like, and then sometimes a yellow card is like, hey, if I don't really hammer this guy, he's going to go in and score. So I have to foul this guy like a flagrant foul on a basketball play. Like where if you're on, like, what's the, where you have a breakaway foul and they just
clear path.
Clear path. Yeah. Where there's times, well, they have a clear path foul in that gets you a red card.
About the transition foul.
There's something that like you would have in soccer where it's like, no, this isn't a clear goal scoring opportunity, but you can tell really quickly if they don't foul this guy here, he's going to get free and it's going to be bad. Mm-hmm. So like one of the better players might just say, I'm going to eat this yellow card because I have to, because I don't want to give up a goal. So that sometimes
seems
that
like it's a smart thing to do.
Yeah. Anyway, more soccer discussion. That's what you tuned in for coming up later.
Yeah, but shout out to my boy Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, I get texts, but two goals yesterday for him. Two goals from him.
I was thinking about that.
I said that. I'm watching that. I said it yesterday. I said, this guy's washed. He's done. He's bad. And I knew it. I knew it. As soon as I said it, I'm like, you watch today. He's going to go out and score. And sure he did. Not just one. Scored two goals yesterday. Mm. Portugal got it done. They beat, I believe it was Uzbekistan. So they are... they're back. They feel good. They made some other changes to their lineup, but there were questions of whether or not they were going to bench this guy. You can't bench Cristiano Ronaldo, but there were discussion points from their lunatic fringe basically saying, maybe we should. No, they did not, and he scored two goals. And then all the interviews he did was like, yes, it was the roughest week of my life, but I am back now, and everything is good. And it's just like, all right, man. Like, people said you looked bad on the field because you did. So, you were, like, taking away opportunities from other guys.
I seen something that said him and Messi, the only two to score in six straight World Cups.
Well, he's the only one, I think, to score in six straight World Cups. I feel like maybe Messi had one where he didn't score. But they both have scored. Yes, like, they both went, I believe this is correct. I got to look this up. It was a stat that was almost too good to believe. Like, too serendipitous to believe. I want to say that because their first World Cup, both those guys, Cristiano Ronaldo, Lionel Messi, first World Cup was 2006. Okay.
Dang, even
both of them. Here you go. This is from ESPN FC, which is their soccer like vertical for ESPN. The longest time ever between a player's first and latest World Cup goal. Okay. Cristiano Ronaldo, 20 years and 11 days between his first goal and the one he scored, the two he scored yesterday. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Lionel Messi, the time between his first goal and his most recent goal in the World Cup that he scored the day before?
20 years.
20 years and 11 days. It is identical. We will never see anything like this again, folks. Like, two guys who are at the level of what they've been for the years that they have played. I still think Messi's the GOAT. I don't think that's a question. Ronaldo's fine, but I don't think he's on that level. However, the fact they both played this long, they're both still scoring goals. It's incredible. It's an incredible tournament. I've been.
These two really, it's like, they really get compared.
It's
like
all the time.
Breakdowns.
It's
all the time. This is like LeBron and George.
Dude,
this is ridiculous.
I want to tell you right now, if you think Shador fans are annoying, or like Shador fans can be a little over the top with their takes.
Oh, they.
Multiply them by a million. And that is Cristiano Ronaldo fans. Like, that is...
not Messi, though.
Well, Messi fans probably are, too, but they're right. So that's the difference.
That's the shame.
All right. Yeah, we had the NBA draft last night. A local kid did well. We'll talk about it next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and happy Wednesday. For our drivers in New Albany, we are, yes, seeing a disabled vehicle, 161 eastbound, just beyond that Hamilton Road area. That right shoulder is blocked, and yes, it is causing you some slowdowns, 36 miles per hour for your drive times. When you're passing that scene, though, we are still seeing traffic really picking up this morning. Seems like everyone is leaving the house right now, especially 161 eastbound over by Beach Road, especially slower once you're passing that 62 split. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan traffic.
By NHTSA.
The Fan has a secret radio station. It's called The Fan 2. You can listen to the Bob and Tom Show, Jim Rome, and Buckeye stuff. Why do they pay me big money to whisper? The Fan 2 is on The Fan's HD2 channel and streaming on The Fan app. You're welcome. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 weather impact forecast. I'd grab a light jacket as you head out the door, as it will be very refreshing this morning with wake-up temperatures in the 50s. But this afternoon, a summer day with mostly sunny skies and highs in the low 80s. For tonight, skies turn partly cloudy overnight with our lows down into the 60s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 weather impact forecast.
If you haven't thought about Buckeye football today, I'm sorry to tell you that you're dead.
Our condolences. Your home of the Buckeyes.
The Fan. Tyvis Powell is a legendary Buckeye. T-Bone loves to eat Buckeyes. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvis.
Ask Tyvis anything coming up at 7:30. You can ask us your Tyvis questions right now. YouTube chat. 971 The Fan on YouTube. Click on T-Bone and Tyvis, and then you'll be right in the chat along with LW, Rusty, Alex. Good morning to all of you. Thank you guys for always locking in early. We always appreciate seeing that. Alex, didn't he have a hot take Wednesday, which isn't a thing, but you know what? Today we'll let it go.
His hot take Wednesday, the NFL won't have a supplemental draft for Sorsby because they don't see him as an NFL talent. They did for Pryor because they saw his talent and potential.
Maybe. I mean, here's my quick thought on that, because obviously if you didn't see this news, it came down yesterday. You were actually, I believe, on the phone with Rothman and Ice.
Yeah.
Or on your baby monitor, according to him,
yes.
Because your phone kept breaking up.
Which I don't understand. I was standing outside.
I know, but those baby monitors, they do have like radio frequencies that mess with phones. I don't know why. But anyway, you were on with them, and then your phone kind of cut out right when you were going to the start of the interview, and they, as they were getting ready to talk to you, they said, well, hey, we got some breaking news here. Brennan Sorsby not going to be able to go to the NFL in a supplemental draft because the NFL released a letter saying, hey, sorry, bud, we're not doing a supplemental draft this year. That's our decision. Sorry for your luck. Anyway, good luck with your career. Have fun. We'll see you next year in the draft. So there's a lot to unpack from that, but the one thing I took away from it more than anything was, I don't think it's about Brennan Sorsby. I think it's about the NFL saying, you don't tell us what to do. We decide what we want to do. And we don't get to be, we don't feel pressured by the fact that you, one, gambled on sports, two, hired every lawyer you could to get you to play college football, three, when the NCAA said, no, you can't play college football, you then ran to the first judge you can find who would get a ruling for you, mm-hmm. and then the state attorney general got involved. Like, this is all over one guy who may not even be good at playing quarterback. Like,
my reason why I said they did it.
Do you think if it's Arch Manning?
They turn a blind eye.
If Arch Manning gambling, did
exactly
illegal,
what
NCAA
did,
said everything,
they would turn a blind
why?
Eye. I think Sorsby is the perfect candidate for them to drop the hammer on somebody to discourage people of the future. Because he's just not that good. He's good, but he's not good enough.
But are we watching
Arch Manning?
Are we watching the same Arch Manning?
He would have the supplemental draft.
Tyvis, are we watching the same Arch Manning?
Yeah, did you watch him down the stretch?
Yeah, when he was like no stakes and most of those teams were bad.
You're looking at the first like 4 or 5 weeks of the season.
Yeah, when they played the good teams.
Yeah, he turned it around for the rest of the year.
All right. I'm just saying, like, there are still tons of questions about his game next year. Like, everybody's got him. They had him penned last year as the number one quarterback going into the draft, and then he didn't perform, and so now he came back for another year of school. He could have gone in this year's draft. He wasn't good enough.
I'm saying
I don't think the NFL is looking at it going, oh, if this guy was a can't-miss talent, we're letting him in. I genuinely think they looked at this and said, you don't get to just use us as your fallback option. We're the NFL. You're trying to transfer from Cincinnati to Texas Tech, not exactly the blue bloods of college football. And then when that didn't work out and everybody hammered you, now you want to come to the NFL? Oh, and by the way, you have a problem that is one of the few problems the NFL will absolutely not ignore. They will ignore. You can beat the hell out of whoever you want to, man, woman, child. They don't care. If you can run or pass the football, they'll let you play. They'll find somebody who will give you an excuse. They'll get a softball interview for you. They'll let you back on the field. But if you gamble on sports now, that is the one they will not let you back on the field for. So I'm saying the NFL decided, why don't we let this guy really get his treatment for his gambling addiction? If he's so addicted, let him go get it fixed, and then we'll have him come in.
I also think that's a really easy stance for the NFL to take when all the teams say we're not willing to give up more than like a 6th-round pick for the guy.
See, I don't know what these teams are, because if you listen to the media up in Cleveland, they were convinced like, oh my God, you have to go get him. And I
think those people are crazy.
I think they're insane too.
I agree with you.
I want to be clear that I don't know that they represent the institutional thinking in Berea. You got I am saying anyone in Cleveland that was having that notion, the media up there was like, they were talking about Sorsby like he's just a can't-miss prospect.
You gotta understand that in Cleveland, they have not had a quarterback. And when any time they see the potential of a future first-round pick,
I got it.
Like, yeah, they want to jump on it, you know. They want to have that type of talent on the roster. So that's all that's about.
I do know that, and I do know that also feels like
that's why if a quarterback comes up, it's always Browns, Jets.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Because what is the common thread between both those franchises? Desperation.
Correct.
Desperation.
They desperately think they need a quarterback.
Yeah, it's like a guy who's been in prison for 20 years. He gets out and, yes, there's a very problematic person maybe that they are attracted to, but that person is like the first person they see, and they're like, I am desperate. I will do anything, please. Like, because it's been a while is all I'm saying. But stained.
I truly believe that, like, how Nico tried to do Tennessee, and Tennessee was like, you're not good enough to demand. I'm not playing in a spring game unless I get paid X amount of dollars. Like, and they was like, no, you're not good enough for that to happen.
Yeah.
So they like let him walk, and they made an example. So people at Tennessee is like, oh, well, they doing this. If they didn't give him the money, then I know I ain't going to be able to pull that.
So I
think with Sorsby, he is just not good enough that the gambling thing is to discourage people from gambling, period. It's, oh my goodness, this is a guy who potentially was a first round pick. If I'm a player and I see they did Sorsby like this, then I know they're not going to let me slide.
Well,
like, he's just the right person.
I can agree with that part of, like, I don't know, though. I tend to believe the NFL. And again, I have no love for the NFL front office. I don't think that Roger Goodell is like a great human being or any of that stuff. He's not my guy.
$50 million a year or something like that.
We might be selling that low. I think it might be closer to 60. I mean, the dude, yeah. Like,
he make $50 million a year?
Yeah. Because this is what he does. Because he protects. Here's what he does, Tyvus. Number one among anything else that he does for the NFL, he protects the owners from their own stupidity. That is his number one job.
Excuse me.
63.9.
I told you.
You gotta be kidding.
A year? Yes. Dude, I'm telling you.
Get out of here.
I have no love. I have no love for Roger Goodell or for the front office. But what I know about the NFL is, I genuinely think they would have done this if it was Arch Manning. If it was Jeremiah Smith. Jeremiah Smith is a canvas. And again, none of these guys are doing this stuff. I'm not insinuating they are. But I'm saying if you put the Brennan Sorsby situation on any player in college football and had them go running to judges and running to the NCAA and pleading their case and doing this, what I think was kind of a false treatment plan just to get it. They did it in the offseason. They did it when it was the least impactful to the roster, all that stuff. Like, if you run around like that, and as the NFL said in their letter, they noted 3 days before the deadline, you sent us basically a form letter saying, I demand a supplemental draft, like it was a formality. We don't take that lightly, and we don't think enough time has passed. We're not interested. Like, I think their process was more, you don't tell us how we do business. We don't owe you a spot in the NFL. And if you remember, slightly different situation, but back in the day, Maurice Claret, when he went through his issues here at Ohio State, he, after exhausting all his legal avenues, went and sued the NFL to try to get in. Now Brendan Sorsby's lawyers are acting like they're going to sue the NFL.
They said they're going to get with the NFLPA and all that.
Yeah. You know why they're going to get with the NFLPA? What? Who's his lawyer? His lawyer's Jeffrey Kessler. You know who the number one legal outside counsel is that the NFLPA contacts when they want legal representation? For the last 20 years, it's been Jeffrey Kessler. Mm. So he's got the same lawyer as the NFLPA.
So his $7 million or whatever it was is all going
to
be
it's all going to go to Jeffrey Kessler's bank account. I mean, I don't know. If I'm Sorsby at this point.
Wait a minute. So
go hire the best quarterback coach you can and go sit there and put out videos about how much you don't like gambling, how much your treatment has changed. Do a talk with Tom Rinaldi on College Game Day, whatever you got to do. And then, or whatever, he's on Fox Big Noon now. And then do that, how you've a changed person and you're working hard and all that stuff. And then go on a Goodwill tour in the fall to remind people like you're a good guy and you just got trapped in some gambling stuff.
This is a case for Oprah.
That's it. Yes, you spend the next 6 months. If we see you at all, it's not on a football field. It's telling someone how sorry you are for what you did and how you got bad advice and how the grown-ups let you down and they gave you bad advice and you realize now this was a terrible idea. But you got to take some time away. and you cannot be out there still suing the NFL through December or January. No, that's a bad idea. Go ask Maurice Claret. I mean, he'll tell you how it worked out. I mean, I'm sure he would tell you now. Probably wasn't the best idea. Didn't work.
Well, you got to have a lot of money because the NFL got a lot.
You don't think the NFL, before they wrote this letter, ran it past a couple of their high-priced New York attorneys? They absolutely did. They are not worried about their legal footing in this in any way, shape, or form. I guarantee you that. All right, we didn't talk about it, but a local kid did well in the NBA draft. 2 minutes away. We'll tell you next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Roads over on the north side are looking great on this Wednesday. 270 in both directions, 23 northbound, and we're talking 315 in that southbound direction as you're heading downtown. For our friends in Groport, also looking good, 270 in both directions. You're flying this morning when it comes to your travel times. And for our friends in Madison County, good morning to you. 70 East is looking great. 12-minute commute between 42 to 270. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan traffic.
T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Tyvus hates Girl Scout cookies.
I hate it.
And little girls.
And America.
I hate it, hate, hate. Seriously, Tyvus, what the hell?
Okay, whatever this is, I already hate it.
You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
All right, the thing that I don't understand.
Yeah.
We were talking about Brandon Sorsby in the, before we went to break, and, you know, in the chat they were saying, like, who is the people that don't, that wanted Sorsby, and you said there was people in Cleveland that wanted Sorsby and all of these things. The thing that I don't understand as a, from a Browns fan base standpoint is, why not... Okay, so Sorsby, if Sorsby was to be taken in the supplemental draft, I wouldn't play him this season. If I did play him this season, it would be like the last three games if we out, or last four games or something like that, right?
If it's all inconsequential, you're already out of the playoffs. Right. Yes.
Yeah, like right. I don't think I would, because there's no way you're going to tell me that you're going to take him in the summer, have him come in training camp, teach him the game, teach him, get him up to speed to the NFL speed, and then have him ready to play week one and think that you're going to go like that. That's crazy to me.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it takes rookies, first picks in the draft, it takes them halfway through a season to finally figure it out. So you tell him you're going to take a guy who missed OTA? Like, that's a lot. So I was never a fan of them taking Sorsby to try to get him to play right away. To me, he would just be redshirting for a year. Now, what I don't understand from the Browns standpoint is that some people of the Browns fans, they don't want to see Shedeur Sanders out there. That's the part that I don't understand.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
I cannot figure this one out.
I got to tell you, Tyvus, because you go up to Cleveland and you deal with like a lot of Cleveland media people. You are from Cleveland and you do a lot of work with the Browns too, right? So you're in that media ecosystem way more than I am. But I feel like as an outsider who's not in Cleveland, who lives down here in Columbus, the conversations that I hear about Shedeur Sanders up in Cleveland, I think have gone so far off the rails of reality from where like normal people live, which is like, if you go in Cleveland and you're like, hey man, I think Shedeur might be good, but I don't know. I haven't seen enough. It feels like you're going to get labeled a never Shedeur guy, or like you're just a Shedeur lover who just talks. And it's like, the reality is this guy is a young quarterback who has flaws, who has not had enough time to develop, I don't think, with a coaching staff that it doesn't seem like was fully interested in developing him.
Clearly.
An organization that drafted two guys the year he got drafted and had two other veterans on the roster when he came to camp, didn't develop him well enough. That regime got fired, and now you have a new regime, at least from the coaching side, that might give him a fair shake. But the idea that we know for a fact he is the fix, and the idea that we know for a fact that he's a bust, both of those are untrue. We have so many questions about this dude now.
I don't understand it.
It would be, but wouldn't the best perspective then
is to play him?
I said this a long time ago.
I said, whether you are a fan of his or you think he sucks, the best thing to do is to jog him out there. Okay. Why? Because if he hits, you got you a guy. If he doesn't hit, you're going to pick high in the draft. Both sides should be happy. Right. That's why I say,
because like LW in the chat's like, name some people in Cleveland who are saying this. Everyone in Cleveland has been entertaining the idea of, should you go get Brendan Sorsby, when would be the right time to get him? Would it be a first round pick, a second round pick, if there was a supplemental draft? And my whole point to that is the idea that you're even thinking of getting him is such a ridiculous notion. Now, thankfully, the NFL stepped in and saved everyone from that stupid argument, which I don't know that Berea thinks that. I think that guys in Cleveland who need to get numbers in the summer think that, but that's another story.
I'll name one. Fontana comes on here and says that.
Okay, there you go. Matt Fontana, who fills in on this station. Yeah, he's one of
they should go and get Sorsby.
There you go. There's a guy, and Matt's a great dude. Okay, we can have a difference of opinion on that.
No issues with him?
No, but like the part of that is that like we have people in Cleveland who talk about this stuff like Brendan Sorsby would be a realistic option. The fact of the matter is, if the Browns were even thinking of that, that tells you everything you need to know about why this organization never wins. I'm not saying they did think that. I'm saying this is a dumb idea to go get Brendan Sorsby to then use a first round or use some, not a first round pick, some pick next year that can actually be used on a player that can help you, just to take yet another flyer on a quarterback when you haven't proven you can figure out the flyers you've already taken. Shedeur Sanders was a flyer, right? What was he taking? Sixth round? Fifth round?
Fifth.
Okay. You haven't dedicated yourself to developing that guy. And then before you even get done with figuring him out, you're like, maybe we could go get this Brendan Sorsby kid. Have him waiting. Like, and then what? Still go draft a quarterback in the first round next year if nobody pans out this year. Like, that just feels like an organization that's flailing. So I don't say the Browns necessarily feel that way, but I have seen that all over Cleveland media from a variety of places entertaining the idea that it would be good to go get him. And I don't get it, but hey, we don't have to talk about him anymore because Brendan Sorsby is not going to be in the supplemental draft, at least for now.
He's going back to college.
Can't go. Well, he can go back to college and take classes. He can't play.
Why can't he?
Well, because he has the ruling came down that said he can't.
I thought he got an injunction.
No. I thought
the Big 12 was all the... All the teams was like, nah, we ain't doing that.
The injunction got pulled. That was why, because he... Once he saw that... Texas's attorney general came out and said, we're going to back you. The Big 12 can't stop you from playing. Then it was Utah's attorney general. And I want to say like Oklahoma's attorney general and like another state that the Big 12 is in. We're all like, hey, Texas AG, if you want to do that, we're going to go to court and fight you because the Big 12 has the right to do what they want to do. And so when he saw that legal mess, like when they filed that, that was when he said the Big 12 filed something on like a Sunday and said, we're going to fight your eligibility. We are going to fight your team being eligible for our championship game. We are not going to count your wins. We're going to go to court over this. 24 hours later, he was in supplemental draft. And to do that, his lawyers had to withdraw their injunction that they got from the NCAA. They had to withdraw that request. So now if he would want to go back to college, which again, I don't think is going to happen, he'd have to go back and refile that with another judge who just saw what happened to the last guy when he ruled that way.
I'm going to tell you, first of all,
there's no chance. I don't think Texas Tech even wants a part of that. As dumb as they are, I think they've all realized, like, this is not worth the squeeze.
As I was on Rothman and Nice, I was explaining to them, I don't know if it got through or not because my quote-unquote baby monitor, but I was saying that I was a fan of Brendan Sorsby back when he was at Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was doing the tailgate show, and I was like, they had just switched to him, and I was at the game, and I was like, oh, this guy's pretty good, right? Now, I'm going to tell you why Sorsby lost me.
Okay.
Was when he came out with the statement of why he gambled.
Yeah.
That's what I said. Oh, he is a BSer. And sure, you can't BS a BSer. And that's me, okay? Yeah. He think he's slick. Go say, I did this to be close to the team.
Yeah, right. Get out of here. Under.
That's got to be the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. The reason that I gambled on Indiana games was to try to make myself feel closer to Indiana.
You bet the under your fellow quarterback's yardage. What are we talking about, man?
So that's why I really don't like him. Yeah, you tried to cheat the system here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. By the way, draft AJ DeBonsa goes number one to the Wizards. That means that then it became Darren Peterson going two to the Jazz. Cam Boozer goes 3 from Duke to Memphis. Caleb Wilson from North Carolina goes 4 to the Bulls. I like that pick.
Him and Dalen Swain, man, the Bulls.
Dalen Swain from Columbus, Afrocentric player who went to Xavier and then went to Texas. Yeah. Followed Sean Miller, right? Yeah. I believe is that's the case.
Yeah, he's gonna be a good player.
No, that's great for him. I love the fact seeing Columbus guys
paying off his mother's debt.
Oh yeah, they said he paid off his mom's debt with his NIL money, which I like that. I think that's a really cool move. Now I'm a cynic. I'll tell you this right now. My kid's getting millions of dollars in NIL money, and they come back to my house. And I'm like, Dad, when's the house getting paid off? I'd be like, son, I believe that's something you're going to have to take care of because I don't know if you know this. It's how you had a house for 18 years because I'm not asking for a car. I'm not asking for anything. I'm asking.
By that time,
you just want back rent.
I'm just saying if you're making millions of dollars and I've got a few hundred thousand on the mortgage, that's all I'm saying. I'm looking to you at that point just to say, just take care of that. That's all I'm asking. All right, coming up next, players get red carded in soccer. It's not often you see the announcers get the equivalent of a red card, but one did the other day. I'll tell you about that situation next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Crews still working to clear up a disabled vehicle as you're heading towards New Albany. 161 eastbound just beyond Hamilton Road. That right shoulder is currently restricted out there. We also have slowdowns forming right now as expected. It's 33 on that westbound direction over by Gender Road. At least gets a lot better when you're passing that scene, especially over by that 270 and 33 intersection. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan Traffic.
Bishop and Friends.
Your comedic timing on the zinger to Saban.
I thought we could smile a little bit, laugh a little bit. If the timing was right and coach is there, we could maybe get a smile on.
Bishop and Friends, sponsored by Diamond Seller.
Weekdays from 9 to noon on The Fan.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Your home for football, food, and fun. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Tell you what, we got a lot of jacket stuff to unpack because there remains a lot of smoke around this Zach Werenski situation. Now we're getting some actual reporting on that. We'll talk about that coming up top of the hour. We'll also get into an idiot who used to work for the Jackets who's running his mouth at his introductory press conference. Shockingly taking no responsibility for his actions. All that coming up in a little bit. But, Tyvus, we were talking about the World Cup yesterday. I saw that a bad situation happened for a guy from Paraguay. Okay. Paraguay, however you want to say it. Okay? Paraguay is not doing well in this World Cup. They've already basically been eliminated. It's gone poorly for them, including one of their stars, Miguel Almiron. He got thrown out of a game, got a red card. FIFA has a rule this World Cup. It's new. I've never heard of this. They just implemented it for this World Cup. The rule is, guys, you probably have seen players do this on a basketball court or on an NFL field after they take their helmets off. After games, sometimes you'll see players, or even in baseball games, they'll cover their mouths with their hand like they're about to sneeze, and they'll talk to each other. And then they'll both stand there with their hands over their mouths.
So you can't read their lips.
Exactly right. Here's the problem. In international soccer, there have been some incidents of racism where a player will say, this guy on the field said this to me and it was racist and horrible. And then they'll go back and look at the video, and what they will see is a player does say something to this player. The player who's being accused is a video saying something, got his hand over his mouth, covering up what he's saying. FIFA is using that as an excuse to say, all right, no one's allowed to cover their mouth with their hand and talk to an opponent. Now, if you go talk to your teammate, that's allowed with your hand covering it. Because sometimes, you know, it could be like, where are we going to dinner after this? We're losing 5-0. Yeah, I'm hungry.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and the players don't want the media to catch that and be like, look at these guys. They're talking about going to dinner. They don't
what
want that.
What else are we
going to
be talking about? It's over with. Game's over.
Right.
Coming back.
So that's the context for what happened with Paraguay forward Miguel Almiron. So he appeared to say something to a player from Turkey while covering his mouth. Now, there's no insinuation here that he said anything racist or horrible, or who knows, he may have just said, good game, man, or I don't know. But like, all the players cover their mouths when they talk to anybody on the field, probably out of habit, a lot of them. This got caught. The referees gave a red card to Almirón for Paraguay, sent him off the field.
Because he covered his
mouth. Because he covered his mouth, because this is the new rule. There's a no-tolerance policy with it. Regardless of what you said, they're throwing you out. The World Cup, man.
So if I say,
yeah, and they see you do it, they will throw you out of the game. Doesn't matter what you said to the guy, okay? So he gets thrown out of the game. This is the context where we bring in Jorge Chippy Vera, an announcer covering the match for Paraguayan network ABC. It's obviously different than our ABC because I believe R stands for American Broadcasting Company. Mm-hmm. So whatever their ABC is. But anyway, that's who's got the rights for the World Cup in Paraguay. This is what Chippy Vera had to say about Salvadoran referee Ivan Barton, who threw the Paraguayan player out of the game. He said, thief, Barton. They killed football, FIFA. You killed football. Infantino, you're responsible for this. Gianni Infantino is the guy who runs FIFA. FIFA, take responsibility for turning football into this, a disgrace. You should be ashamed, Infantino. Then he spoke to the guy who runs CONMEBOL, which is the South American Soccer Federation. That guy's name is Alejandro Dominguez. He said, Dominguez, less photos with Infantino. Grow a pair, you effing thieves. This is on national TV, by the way. Is this what we've come to see at a World Cup? What sons of bitches? This is inexplicable. This is a disgrace. They're killing football and leaving us with one less player. Said this on national TV on a FIFA broadcast.
That's a high quality quote.
Oh, yeah, right. He went after it. And I got to say, I kind of like the fire.
I got to hear it. We got the audio.
Well, I don't know if we can play the audio because he's saying the F word, but I don't speak Spanish, so I don't know which word to bleep. So that's why I don't have the audio for you. But the point here is, the better issue is, this man, I appreciate the rant. Unfortunately for him, FIFA doesn't tolerate stuff like that, so he's gone.
He got thrown out.
He threw him off the broadcast. He is done with the World Cup. Came out yesterday to apologize and said, yeah, I lost my temper. I should have done that. Well, World Cup dream is over, just like Paraguay's, unfortunately.
At least we know that they're passionate about the sport.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's... That's the point, right? It does inspire. The World Cup does inspire a lot of passion.
I wish I spoke Spanish to you to understand it.
Oh, trust me. I am so envious. Have you seen those videos of guys?
3 years of Spanish and I can't speak Spanish. Ain't
same
that
boat.
Crazy?
Same. I think we all probably took the same amount of Spanish.
Although I bet if you listen to it, you could probably tell which one it is. Yeah.
There probably is. Like, it's probably universal where it's like, I don't know what he's saying, but I know what he's saying. Like, I heard it right there. You're right. But I do. I'm the same way where I took a lot of Spanish. I cannot retain it well. I haven't retained it well. I mean, I was at a point in my life in high school where if I was listening to Spanish speakers, I could roughly know what was going on sentence to sentence. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't be able to come up with sentences that could, like, I wouldn't know the terms for like anything other than very general stuff like car or street or bathroom, like that stuff that you learn, but nothing like, hey, I was thinking about the presidential election. Like, I wouldn't know how to discuss that with someone. You know what I mean? So I wish, though, I was one of those people who could speak multiple languages. Have you ever seen the videos? I don't know if this has hit your social media, Tyvus, of the guys who are like, go over to China, and they will go to like a market in China, and they will walk in. And a lot of times the videos where they do this, it's just like a plain looking white dude walking into the middle of China. He obviously stands out. And they're presuming that he does not speak Mandarin or whatever dialect is in that part of China. And the guy walks in and has flawless dialect, like in that language, to the point where the people are like calling other people out, like, look at this guy. Like, let's say it to him. And they bring their friends around. I watch those videos with such envy where I'm like, I would just love to be able to walk into another country and be so fluid the locals are like, oh man, you speak it better than I do.
I got a friend that speaks Spanish very well.
Yeah?
Very well. And he'd be like saying in...
Cause
like,
what's his name? Well, Emmanuel Clase?
No.
I know. Your buddy, right?
Hey, man.
He's fluent, listen, I believe.
It's just, all I'm saying is it's been a while and ain't nothing came out about it, so they should let him go.
Oh, sure.
Let him go.
But your buddy who speaks Spanish?
He's in Miami. Well, he's in Florida. So, okay. Like, he deals with a lot of...
people who speak Spanish.
Correct.
Sure.
Yeah, so he, like, speaks it well. And he works as a bouncer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know if this was your buddy who's the porn star.
No.
Oh, different guy?
No, okay. Yeah, no, this is different.
Okay.
Totally different guy.
You've got different friends. Hang out with a lot of different people.
I'm wet. I'm dirty.
I'd say that in Spanish. I don't know. I don't know how you say that. Yeah. Did you watch any World Cup?
I watched, you know what? I forgot that it was on, and then I got on Twitter and seen that that Cristiano Ronaldo scored.
Oh, yeah.
So I flipped to it.
Because you definitely watched that because you texted me.
I flipped to it right away. And I wanted to watch it from that moment on. And I got to say, it's not bad. It's really not bad to watch.
No, it's 2 hours. It's quick. 45 minutes. And now they have a hydration break in between. So it's really only like 20 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
And they take a little break. They put commercials in. Although the head of FIFA, Gianni Infantino, the guy that... our Paraguayan friend called a crook and ruined the game. They put these hydration breaks in. Fox has put commercials over them. Gianni Infantino came out yesterday and said, those hydration breaks are not about making money. I don't even think we're making money on them. Because I think that's just all about player safety.
Wait a minute. Like, who is the guy that crashed out? What's the announcer?
That would be Chippy Vera from Paraguayan network ABC.
Okay, so I needed to be on their network to be able to hear him.
Yes, you wouldn't be able to hear him like here unless you have Paraguayan television.
I feel like we're being robbed.
Trust me. You're right. Because I would. That's the best thing they do.
If it's in Spanish, I would have been like, oh yeah, he's getting after it.
That's the best thing they do. Honestly, like the World Cup will go after a big play or a big goal. They will, like, on some of the highlight shows, get, if it's like, I don't know, Norway scores a goal, they'll get the Norwegian broadcasters calling it. And it's like, I don't understand any of what they're saying. But I understand everything that they're saying because I appreciate the passion.
Yeah.
You know, I can understand exactly where they're coming from. All right, the latest on Zach Werenski. The rumors keep swirling. Is he one out of Columbus? We'll try to parse through this coming up next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and welcome to your Wednesday. If you live over by Dublin and Hilliard, your roads are looking fantastic. 270 in both directions. You're pretty much flying on this Wednesday morning. Lastly, for our friends in our southbound side, over here, Frank Road, 270. If you're taking 71 south, that's a 2-minute commute. Even better on 270 south between East Broad Street to 70. You're looking at 1 minute. It will only take you on this Wednesday. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan traffic.
Details. Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Nate Puterball, your sports update. The NBA draft was last night, and with the first overall pick, the Wizards took BYU's A.J. DeBanza. Kansas's Darren Peterson didn't wait long, going number 2 to the Jazz. The Cleveland Cavaliers selected UConn's Alex Caravan at number 29. The Cincinnati Reds fell at home last night, 2-0 to the Brewers. Milwaukee's Brandon Sprout had a career-high 10 strikeouts. They'll square off again today at 7-10. The Cleveland Guardians have fallen a game behind the White Sox in the AL Central after dropping their game in Chicago 2-1. They'll continue that series this afternoon at 2:10. Busy World Cup action today sees Bosnia Herzegovina take on Qatar, Canada versus Switzerland, Haiti square off with Morocco, Brazil and Scotland, South Korea versus South Africa, and Mexico taking on Chechnya. This update brought to us by TurboTrack Realty. Done with that property? Call John Kozik at TurboTrack Realty for a cash offer. 614-470-2000. Bringing sports news and weapons to the fan, Ohio Sports Destination.
The only contraband hiding in Tyvus's butt cheeks is a Kit Kat bar. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
I am very excited by that lineup of World Cup games today. Tyvus, if I can, at some point, we got to go watch Bosnia-Herzegovina against Qatar.
Yes. Who are you rooting for? Qatar?
Actually, you know what? It doesn't. I probably would root for whoever's worse because they may be who the U.S. ends up playing. Possibly. That's a very good possibility that the U.S. will end up playing whoever wins that game. If there is a winner in that game, that is who the U.S. will play.
The ticket is as low of $344.
It's out in Seattle, Lumen Field. Which
Brazil and Scotland, $3,200.
Dude, I promise you, because that game, I want to say, that's in Miami. The Scottish fans have moved from Boston down to Miami, so now they're taking over Miami. I would love to be there for a Brazil-Scotland game. Two tremendous fan bases. I wish I could be there in Miami for that. But yeah, that's That's Brazil fans and Scotland fans travel very well for their team. That's why those ticket prices are different. Bosnia, Herzegovina, and Qatar, not easy flights. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To get to the U.S. So, yeah, I totally understand that one not having as much to it. But if I was in Seattle, probably today, I'd be heading over there to watch that game. Because it's the World Cup.
Do you want to be at the Brazil-Scotland game for the game or for the drinking?
All of the, like, trust me, if I could get to Miami and just hang out with their fans and not go into the game, I would do that if that was all I could do. I would love to watch the game. Neymar supposedly going to be back on the field for Brazil today, so I'm excited about that. But, yeah, today starts Tyvus. Now they have the last, this is the last game of the group stage. I don't want to bore you with soccer, but just real quick. Now, for the last game, one thing that I like that they do, this is so that no one gains an advantage. Because some of these games, it's like, well, if this team loses or wins, then our game doesn't matter, mm-hmm. right? Because of the point system.
Yeah.
So they put both the games in the group, all four teams, they play at the same time. So you have two
3 p.m. games.
Yep, two 6 p.m., two 9 p.m. Yep, that's exactly right. So I like that because then it forces the other team to actually go play. If there's something, they don't wait around for a result and go, oh, good, our game doesn't matter now. It actually, yeah. I like that. I think that's a good thing. So that starts today at 3 o'clock. I'm excited for it. Not excited about the fact that we keep hearing rumors about Zach Werenski. We keep hearing rumors that the Jackets and Zach Werenski, he may want to get traded and they may want to trade him. They may have to think about this. So the summation of all of it the last week or so has been, I'm not hearing a thing, folks, but who wants to stay in Columbus? Am I right? Like that's been all the NHL reporting on this subject. And I use reporting in air quotes. All these guys are basically saying, Zach Werenski has, you know, a few years left on his deal. They can't even offer him an extension until next July. 2027 is the earliest they could offer him another extension. Mm-hmm. The thought is, if next July he would say, I don't want to sign an extension. I'm not going to sign an extension. I want out of here.
Trade him.
Well, you'd have to trade him next year. Well, then what that has led to is speculation among NHL circles. Well, then why don't you just trade him this year? Because you get a whole nother year on the deal. You can get way more in return for him. Go ahead and start your rebuild over, Columbus. Like, that's the national media narrative. And I feel like that's so out of touch with what the Jackets are actually doing right now. This was a team that was a few points away from making the playoffs, which I know we've all been there. Been there, done that. It's not good enough. However, I don't think they retained Don Waddell to do, or him too. He's the GM. Rick Bowman, sorry. They didn't retain Bones. They didn't bring him back just to go out and rebuild the franchise, did they? Like, they believe this year Bones is going to keep that team playing to a level, and they're going to make moves to get them to a level where they can go compete for the playoffs and not just get to the playoffs, but be a good team in the playoffs.
Remember when Bones went on his rant, did we ever figure out? He said that it was only like one or two players that he was really talking about. And he said that everybody in the locker room knew who he was talking about, who he was aimed at. Do we know who he was aiming?
I mean, I don't know exactly who he was aiming them at, but
I think
I don't know, man.
Could it be Zach?
I mean, I don't think so. Look, down the stretch, Zach was like one of their best players. So okay. I can't imagine that was the case. Like, I can't imagine it was him.
I can't remember the last
considering
game.
Some former coaches have said the exact same thing, I'm willing to go with a few of the veterans.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I don't think it's the younger guys, to your point. Like, for an example, like Ken Johnson, certainly a lot of consternation and questions about him, right? But hasn't Bones come out after the season and said like he loves Kent Johnson's game and believes in him and thinks they can get it right? Now he might just be saying all that to then eventually boost the trademark a little bit.
But I don't think Bones is that kind of guy.
I don't either. I mean, we talk to him every week.
He seems like a pretty straight shooter.
Yeah, I ultimately think with this team, the question comes down to do they believe or not that Zach Werenski wants to be here long term? That leads you to what came down yesterday. Elliot Friedman, who obviously is as plugged into the NHL as anyone, I have been saying I'm so sick of seeing reports from people that have no sources attached to it. Well, he actually says he has sources, so I will give him credit for this. He said, according to several sources, the Blue Jackets are going to meet with Zach Werenski after the NHL draft to discuss his future with the organization. For those who don't know, the draft is Friday. So this weekend, supposedly, they're going to meet with Zach Werenski. Now, at least I'm reading that as this week, and it could be later than this week. It could be next week. I don't know. He goes on to say there's been a lot of noise around Werenski, who has 2 years remaining on his current contract. They can extend him as soon as July 1st of next year. But apparently, because there are public and private trade requests that have been made all throughout the NHL, Friedman then goes on to say Werenski's been speculated as being one of those guys. The only hard news coming out of this report is that Zach Werenski and the team are going to meet about his future after the draft, which...
That's, the draft is Friday, right?
Yeah, but that strikes me as being odd, because I would think that would have... I would have think there would already have been some discussion about, like, hey, we know what the plan is. You know what the plan is, all that stuff. Now, if he has, and his agent has said, yeah, we're going to have to rethink everything because this guy just won a Norris Trophy, so...
The price went up.
Well, yeah, but they can't do anything about it until next year. So they'd have to... I mean, he is on what is now a super team-friendly deal, comparatively. That's the other thing that makes him an attractive trade, you know, asset, right? Is that teams will look at him and say, wow, we could have one of the best players in the NHL for not best player in the NHL money. That's awesome. Problem with that is that pretty much means you're guaranteed to start a rebuild again. And I cannot imagine this Jacket. I don't think this Jackets franchise is anywhere close to that. I am hardly a hockey insider. I don't go over to the arena every day. I don't go to the rink. I'm not at morning skates when they're in season. I'm not like plugged in that way. We obviously have the coach and the GM on every single, you know, every time we can on this show.
Yeah.
But I can't see them. That would be totally a slap in the face to this fan base if the Jackets went and traded Zach Werenski this summer.
Also, why would you not have the conversation before the draft when his trade value would probably be the highest?
Sure.
Especially if you're going into rebuild mode.
I can't imagine they're thinking of doing that this summer.
I would be shocked because of the way Don Waddell went about last season, like making the trades for Mason Marchman and then getting Connor Garland. Like, you would think that seems like, all right, I'm trying to win now. Like, I'm not trying to do a rebuild. So that you go from that to like, all right, let's just throw the cards in here and let's just go rebuild. Like, I don't think that's the right move.
None of the moves that Don Waddell has done make you think it's time for a rebuild.
I just don't think he comes off as a guy that never wants to do a rebuild.
No, and even if he did, it would be like a... But they have to know. Like, everyone around Nationwide Arena has to know this fan base is not in any mode or any mood. If you trade away Zach Werenski, watch your season tickets plummet. Not because people go for him, but because it's a massive signal to this fan base that you're going to have to wait another 3 to 5 years for this to be competitive again. I cannot imagine they're doing that. I cannot think that that's a real thing. I guess the only reason that there would ever be a chance they would do that is if some team said, here are three bona fide players who aren't as good as him, but they fill out a bunch of holes you have on your roster. I just don't. Then you create a massive hole defensively for your team and scoring wise.
Yeah.
Zach Werenski's been one of your best scorers, which is another issue for this team. He shouldn't have to be. He's a defenseman. Like, he's a great scoring defenseman, but that scoring should come from elsewhere. I'm hoping that what we are hearing this time next week, and I'm curious what happens this week. Does the pick get moved? They have pick number 14 again. Does that pair with some of these young players to get in someone who actually could help this team win right now? That's more where I've been up until this last week or so, where suddenly I'm seeing all this Zach Werenski stuff. I don't buy it. I don't think he's going anywhere this summer, but it is something the Jackets fans have to keep an eye on. And I hope the organization knows, and I don't think they're doing this, but... Like, you're not bringing back Rick Bonus to be a part of a rebuild. But if you did this, this fan base will revolt. Like, you cannot trade Zach Werenski this offseason. This fan base will not tolerate it. I cannot imagine that's what they're actually thinking. All right, a big honor for a great coach. We'll talk about it next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and welcome to your Wednesday. We are looking pretty busy when it comes to our roads around this time. Of course, heading up towards Dublin, we are seeing a crash on that 270 northbound ramp to 33 and 161 in that westbound direction. That right shoulder currently restricted out there. Also seeing a disabled vehicle just south of Grandview Heights. We're talking 315 northbound at that 670 area. That right shoulder is right now blocked. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan traffic.
Thousand.
Tita Green with Skip Mossick.
Saturday, we'll chat with former Buckeye Ryan Armour as he gets set to come back to town for next week's Senior Open, plus First Call's Gary Van Sickle.
Tita Green with Skip Mossick, Saturday mornings at 9 on The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast. I'd grab a light jacket as you head out the door, as it will be very refreshing this morning with wake-up temperatures in the 50s. But this afternoon, a summer day with mostly sunny skies and highs in the low 80s. For tonight, skies turn partly cloudy overnight with our lows down into the 60s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
During this 10-second promo, Rothman will lose money gambling on something.
People like you come here and blow the family nest egg that built this town.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. Remember the time producer Dylan said that Alabama should be in the playoffs and that Tyvus started yelling at him? Those were good times. And remember later that day when Tyvus punched him in the face? Classic stuff. Here's T-Bone and Tyvus.
Ask Tyvus anything coming up at 7:30. And tweet us your Ask Tyvus Anything questions at Bone and Tyvus 971, or hop in the YouTube chat, just 971 The Fan on Twitter. Click on T-Bone and Tyvus, you'll be right there. Lots of people in there today. Coach Beard, Rusty, as always. Our guy Zoran is in the chat today, educating us on the differences between Chechnya and Chechia, which are apparently like the Czech Republic goes by Chechia now in the World Cup. I didn't know that.
Chechia and Chechnya.
Chechnya is like a part of Russia, I
Chechnya.
Think. Chechia is like Chechia.
It's like how Turkey is now Turkey A all of a sudden.
Yes, there's like, well, because apparently they've been calling it Turkey A in Turkey for like 100 years,
right?
And then only in like the last 5 did they say,
hey, did they bother to tell anyone?
We've never called it Turkey. You guys did that. So now here's Turkey-a. How we like to be Turkey A. Turkey A. Turkey A. Turkey A.
Which one is it?
It's not Turkey. It's Turkey. I'm going to say it's Turkey A. I yay at the end of it sounds better to me, but I don't, again, I'm trying to say it the right way, but Chechnya is the same thing where like, I always call that.
I will never be able to make that distinction. My brain will always Chechnya. Look at it and see Chechnya.
See, I always thought it was Czech Republic. Like, and then I find out that Chechnya. Is like that Chechnya. Area is what we've called the Czech Republic, but apparently they go by Chechnya now.
Chechnya, just trying not to keep Chechnya. Up.
Yeah. Zoran in the chat. He's given us all the updates on that, which is good. I know he is, he's Macedonian. So. That's over by Greece. That's where, not far away from your guy, Giannis, the Greek freak, right?
The greatest of all time.
Are you doing a Giannis impression?
Yeah.
I didn't know you could do that.
I didn't either. Who knows?
Give me a little bit more.
Michael Jordan played 15 seasons. He only gets 6 rings. You're telling me the other nine's a failure? No, I'm asking you.
See, there's a part of me that wants to say that's racist, but I don't know how it could be because that's not, I mean, it can't be racist. I'm saying, I feel like if I did the impression, definitely, like that would be a problem. But like you doing it feels like it's okay. I don't know why. But Zoran is in the chat today. Thank you, Zoran, for jumping in.
LeBron is going to South Beach.
Oh, is that official?
No.
Oh, it's a prediction. Okay, I didn't know if that was an official or prediction.
Everybody said, why is Giannis going there? Because they're getting LeBron.
Oh, you think so?
I mean, they say he want to go back to a former team.
You'd love to see it if that was true.
There's no, I don't think there's no chance.
I mean, I'd prefer to see LeBron go to Cleveland again.
I think LeBron's going to Golden State still. I think he's
staying in LA.
I think LeBron, they say LeBron has always been with his family. His family goes wherever he goes, right? I don't think Savannah is leaving California.
However, his wife, yeah.
However, if he goes from LA to Golden State, that's just right down the street. You
know? Well, it's a quick flight,
yeah.
Right? It's he'll be racking up the private jet miles. But yeah, but I know he wants to be there for his daughter, right? His daughter's still in high school, isn't she?
She in high school?
Or is she? Maybe she's not even in high school yet. Maybe that's.
Maybe
she's younger than that. The point is, like, I think he saw that with his other kids, where it's like I wasn't around as much because of where he lived and where they play in basketball and all that. I think he likes being around the kids. I could be wrong, but yeah, I think that's a. And apparently, I found out he's not going to be a grandpa. I'm so disappointed by that news. I thought that was the case.
That's a shame.
I got fooled by that, man.
She is 11 years
old. Okay, so she's not quite high school yet. She's in probably junior high or thereabouts. All right, let her live. Anyway, I'm curious what he's going to do. If he's going to stick around in California, if he's going to stick around in LA. But that's if we get news on that, we'll let you know. Also, we have some news about the show, and then we'll get to the big honor for a great coach. Next week, I'm going to be out for a few days.
Couldn't wait till I came back.
I'm going on, believe it or not, the only time in my life I could say this, working here for almost 15 years, I'm going on a business trip. Fish is taking me to a radio conference. We are going to New York City for a conference.
Why he didn't want to take me?
I don't know. You'd have to ask him. One of us has to stay back here and do the show.
Why couldn't it be you?
Because I was holding down for 3 weeks while you and Baby Tsunami were hanging out. So it's now picked to go to the radio conference.
If I would have taken the whole 6 weeks, what would have happened?
I don't know what would have happened. I guess I wouldn't go on this conference. They would have canceled. They would have found someone else to go.
Only Beam gets to take a couple of months off and then take another couple of week vacation.
There you go. Right. It's not. Hey, nothing wrong with that. If you got the time, take it. I'm all about that. Now, I'm going to be gone Wednesday, Thursday of next week. And then Friday, we're all off for Independence Day, July 4th, all that stuff. So I was told yesterday who our co-host fill-in is going to be. It's going to be Tyvis Powell and Joshua Perry hosting the show together. I believe I could be wrong. That has to be one of, if not the only, one of the first times we have ever had two national champions hosting the show solo, like by themselves, without any of like us radio idiots in here also sitting in.
Is that a fact?
I don't know. I think it's got to be one of the first time that's ever happened.
Bobby's never hosted with.
I don't know if he has. Maybe they've done that. I may have forgotten about it. But I'm saying,
well,
like,
no, I guess Bobby always is in the two chair. So,
but I also want to point out, well, and yeah, that's right. I mean, it would have to be, though, whoever he was hosting with would also have to have been a national champion.
Correct.
This is two former Ohio State national champions sitting side by side.
Well, it's either going to go really well or really bad. But well, Fish won't be here because he'll be with you. So,
yeah, he's not going to come in and yell at you for being off time or anything else. Yeah.
Just don't be like DeVere, where I had to teach him how the board worked while we were on air last week.
Yeah, see? So
DeVere had to learn the board?
Yeah. He was over in studio because Fontana was the other host.
Oh, right. Oh, well, yeah.
See, I know Fontana's that part.
Remote, yeah.
I know that part.
So now,
because I made that mistake before. I had did morning juice with, I think it was with Jay Lou. It was V Shark and Jay Lou. And Jay Lou had thrown to me at the beginning, and I'm talking, and my audio wasn't coming up. Oh, and I had to reach over and like cut myself up. So I know how to work that board.
See, well, now I think next week when you do the show with Joshua, Joshua's obviously been here. He's hosted his all that stuff. He was just here for 3 weeks while you were gone, but he's been sitting two chair.
Why can't he sit over there and I sit here?
Because you're the main. You're the part.
But I like my Matty Ice used to do it.
He
used to sit, always sit in this chair because this is his chair.
That's
my login
fine.
Stuff, like when I log in, my stuff just pops
Guess
right
what?
Up.
When I used to sit with Common Man, I would sit in that chair, and then Common Man sat in the one chair, as we call it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he would go on vacation, I would pop over here. All my stuff worked over here, too. So your stuff
I got to read, like,
there.
Sign in all the stuff and all
That's
that.
Okay. Takes you an extra. You'll have to get here a little earlier. Like, you know, just maybe 5 minutes earlier, and you can sign in, and it'd be fine.
Cuts into my time with Trace.
Yeah, it does. He's asleep, as you said. He's been sleeping.
Oh, he wakes up as soon
yes,
as I
Yes, and what do you do?
Leave.
Say bye. Good
Walk
luck.
Out the door.
Anyway, next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Tyvis and Joshua.
No, it's Wednesday, Thursday. Or what is it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry, Wednesday, Thursday. I'm here Tuesday. I got it wrong.
You're already halfway out the door.
My flight is Tuesday. That's where I got screwed up. But I'm doing the show Tuesday, and then Wednesday, Thursday, yes, I'll be gone. So make sure you're around for that. All right, big honor for Jim Tressel. He's going to be enshrined in the Ohio Stadium Ring of Honor, which is not the wrestling enterprise. As much as I would have liked to have seen that Jim Tressel at actual Ring of Honor events, maybe taking a chair shot.
I applaud the reference.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you, Nate. He will be, of course, having his name etched inside the horseshoe alongside Woody Hayes, Paul Brown, and then all the guys who've had their numbers retired. Troy Smith, Les Horvath, Eddie George, Vic Janowitz, Howard Cassidy, Archie Griffin, Chick Harley, and Bill Willis.
Is it like a year's requirement before you can get your name into the Ring of Honor?
I don't know the answer on that. Yeah. I don't know what the criteria is.
Because I feel like this is something that should have happened a long time ago.
I mean, I would agree with that. I do think that part of the issue you have at Ohio State with bestowing honor is that if you're looking for all-time greats who have mattered to the game of college football, who have had an impact on the university and to the state and the community and all that, like, that's who you have at Ohio State. You have so many people who probably at other places it would be like, this is the greatest coach we've ever had.
Yeah.
Jim Tressel is in the conversation for greatest coach we've ever had at Ohio State, but his name has to go alongside of the guys like Woody Hayes, like we just Paul Brown, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at some point down the road, I'm going to guess some guy named Urban Meyer is going to have his name up there,
you would
right?
think.
There's a chance if it keeps going the way it is with Ryan Day, he keeps winning all these games, throws another national championship in the mix, he could have his name up there. Like, the point is you have so much talent. The expectations are so high here. If you can't accomplish at a championship level, you're not going to be here long. So the guys who run the program and have done it for more than a few years are probably going to be Hall of Famers when it comes to coaches, right? Because there's little margin for error between Hall of Famer and out of a job at Ohio State.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to expand the shoe just to get more nameplates so you can have all these coaches up here eventually, right?
We had the conversation about you can't retire numbers no more because, like, the number two, if you retire, who are you retiring it for?
Oh, my gosh. The number two at Ohio State, there are so many guys who have worn that number. We went through that. Remember we did a list last year?
Yeah,
greatest numbers in Ohio State history?
It's ridiculous.
And, like, the number two, just you can go, I mean, almost for 30 years, you can probably go back and every other year you've got someone wearing that number who's like an All-American level type of player or someone who's like a first or second round pick in the NFL, like guys who had incredibly successful careers.
Which is why I'm excited to see Legend Bay and Kenyatta Jackson this season.
Both wearing number two.
Hey. Well, I'm saying.
Welcome in the expectations. I like
it. All I'm saying is if you wear it.
I like it.
It's a lot of history behind that.
Know what else I like? Little conversation around the office last few days about, oh yeah, we got to start thinking about our plans for camp because we're going to be out, I'm sure, broadcasting.
Oh, I thought you was talking about like fall camp. The Ohio camp.
No. I'm saying like
Ohio
for fall camp. Trust like
me
we're don't sing the camp.
I thought that's what you were talking about.
No, about us going and broadcasting.
You know what? They should do like a live performance at practice.
Why? Do they want the players to all get some rest? Fall asleep? All of them just pass out of boredom?
If they take camp out of the shoe this year,
it'll be a much better atmosphere.
Quitters.
No, it's a much better atmosphere. I've told you, replace that with Ride from 21 Pilots. A much better song. Much better sing-along. All right, 2 minutes away. Ask Tyvus anything. Get his thoughts on the camp discography. All coming up next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
It's been over an hour, but we are still seeing a disabled vehicle as you're heading towards New Albany, 161 eastbound, just passing Hamilton Road. That area, that right shoulder is blocked for you on this Wednesday. Also, a new disabled vehicle popping up into our system now. This is in our southeast Columbus area, just outside of Canal Winchester, 33 eastbound at Pickerington Road. That left lane is currently blocked. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan traffic.
T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Every time Tyvus laughs, take a drink. Just kidding. You'd be dead in 30 seconds. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
So today, the big news of the day is you had the NBA draft last night. AJ DeBonsa goes number one. Darren Peterson, Ohio kid, goes number two. That is, of course, the Wizards at number one. Jazz at number two. Thought it might go the other way, possibly because of AJ DeBonsa, you know, playing out at BYU. Utah, of course, would have loved to have had him. However, it didn't work out that way. They get another excellent player in Darren Peterson, local kid, Dalen Swain from Afrocentric. He went 15 to the Bulls. Love to see the Columbus high school kids getting into the NBA. Takes me back to the days of Samaki Walker back in the day playing in Columbus City League basketball. Michael Redd. Might have heard of him. Pretty good. This guy's made some money in the NBA. Did some good stuff there. So, yeah, I'd love to see that.
I was upset that Darius Acuff went to the Kings.
Oh, dude, the Sacramento Kings. I genuinely wonder how, like, and I don't mean this, and I'm really not trying to be mean to anybody here in town, but, like, when I think of the Sacramento Kings, I'm just like, who wants to play there? Like, whoever wants to go there? And you know this is true, and it's not,
you know,
it sucks. You know this is true, and it sucks, but it's true.
Oh, man.
People in Toronto think that way. about this town when it comes to hockey. There are people around the league of the NHL that treat Columbus that way. Is that fair? No. Has Columbus got a much better fan base, ownership, all that stuff than what they have at in Sacramento? Yes. But the reality is, until you win stuff and until you make yourself relevant, unfortunately, that's still an uphill battle that this franchise has to fight. That's the other part of the news today, is that Zach Werenski, there's talk about him possibly wanting out. He's apparently going to meet with Jackets brass later, either this weekend or next week, about his future in Columbus. So let's hope that goes well. Draft is coming up the end of this week. And Brendan Sorsby is not going to play college football or in the NFL, because the NFL said, we're not doing a supplemental draft, so you can pound sand. Kind of here for it, actually. I like that the NFL just said, sorry, your lack of preparation is not my problem. I don't have to do anything with a supplemental draft, and they're not. So we've got all that on the docket. If you missed any of that conversation, we'll talk about it more later. You can get the podcast as well. Wherever you get podcasts, just search T-Bone and Tyvus. It'll be right there for you. It's all brought to you by our friends at Capital Ford of Columbus.
Get to know your resident national champion. It's time for Ask Tyvus Anything.
Sponsored by Ramos Roofing. Reliable, local, built right. Request your free roof assessment today at ramosroofing.com.
All right, so we have plenty of questions for Tyvus. The first one comes from Meat Sweats, who says, well, now I have a question for Tyvus on Ask Tyvus Anything. Next week, Tyvus and Joshua Perry are going to be co-hosting the show. Both of you have sat in the two chair. So Meat Sweats says, how are he and JP going to share the two chair? Who's sitting on whose lap? I like that. Yeah. So you can feel free to answer that whenever you want, Tyvus.
I feel like I want to sit over here. This is my chair.
Yeah, but you have a chance to learn how to run the board.
I can run it from sitting right here. But I can't do the sound.
But that's the fun part. Is you can just be sitting here playing all kinds of crap.
Listen, I feel like
Dylan can play
My first time in the one chair is a lot to be able to put the. You got to play sound, point guard the show.
Yes, you do have to point guard the show. Yeah.
I see why Scottie Pippen was like pointing to the bottom of his shoe and telling Jordan to come back. That's how I'm going to feel next week.
That is sad that you would in every way, shape, or form compare whatever's happening over here to anything that happened with 23. But whatever. I'm just saying, if you sit over here, you get to play all the fun sounds for him. So
I could play I'm wet and I'm dirty.
You can play whatever you want. There's a whole bunch of them in here.
Is the glory hole one over?
Oh, it's in
there. Best part of the job, just hitting random things like this.
Yeah. Yeah, wait, hit it again. I want to hear it even louder.
Senior hurler.
Yeah, exactly. You can play all the fun
senior
stuff.
Senior hurler.
Yeah, it's great. There's all kinds of good stuff. So that's, I'll tell you what, 8 o'clock hour today, we're switching seats.
No, we're not.
Yes, we're switching seats. And you're doing the whole thing. You're going to bring us into break. You're going to take us out of break. You're going to hit stupid sounds. It may suck. I may get PTSD going back over to that chair and be like, oh, my God. Like, I'm back in afternoons again. But
I think that's a terrible idea.
It's not. It's going to happen. 8 o'clock today. We'll find out. You see what it's like.
What about, I got a read to do at 8:15.
You can read it. What, do your eyes not work over here?
Strangely enough, your voice still works on the other chair.
This is going to happen. Now it has to, because of the fact that you're treating this like Ebola will invade your body if you switch over here. I'll leave everything logged in.
It's different.
You can send emails from my account. Just mass email the whole staff, like F you, and then just say from T-Bone. You can hack my email. I'll leave you up here so you can play whatever sounds you want to. All right, so that we got that. More Ask Tyvus Anything right now, though. Mario has a couple questions for you. He said, could we make, like we were talking about how Turkey A, now it's Turkey A instead of Turkey.
Yeah.
Czech Republic apparently goes by Chechia now. Let them live. Said, Ask Tyvus Anything, could we make other countries call us United States of Amazingly Hung Individuals? Since we're making stuff up. I don't think we're making stuff up. That's what they want to be called.
I don't understand how people go like a long period of time and not correct people. It was like Tyrod Taylor. Everybody called him Tyrod, and then he one day said, "Oh, it's Tyrod."
He's like, "I'm not a car suspension part. Thanks. Yeah. My name is Tyrod, not Tyrod."
And Neil Peart was the drummer of Rush for 40 years. It's Peart.
Oh yeah, right.
Devin A. That's Chain. A good one.
Oh, Yeah, how do you? How are you supposed to say his name?
I forget. A-Chain, but he said it was something else. Everybody called him something else,
like A-Chain or
something. I don't remember what it was, but he like came out and corrected. And then Travis Etienne is like that.
Yeah, right.
He just came out this year, and I can't remember what
is
the new
way. Etienne or Etienne?
It's something very simple.
But he basically was like, yeah, you guys have been saying it wrong, but I didn't want to. I mean, I do understand it's hard once that cat is out of the bag to, like, reclaim it and say, no, this is actually the way I want my name pronounced. But you got to do it, you know? And I like that the countries in the World Cup, they're like, this is how we want our name set. And they're doing it. Turkey-ay. See, it's educational. That's why I'm watching soccer. Not because I'm drinking beer and just yelling at my TV. No, it's educational. Mario also asked, how many times do you think you're going to play the, quote, but I got a baby to get out of stuff this year? Over, under 8 times, Tyvus. Like when you get asked to do something, it's like, oh, I got a kid. Sorry, I can't. I would, but I can't.
I'm not going to do that.
You should do that.
I should do
that. You should do it. Why not?
I mean, I feel like right now in this stage is the only time like it really works.
Oh, no, no, no. It definitely works.
Like, I feel like once you hit, like, the 6-month mark, it's like that don't really hold weight. Like,
no, because then it's like, oh, sorry, my wife has something to do, and I can't leave my 6-month-old at home by himself. So, no, like, I can't come to your thing. Or when you have a party to go to or something, and it's like, sorry, we were going to make it, but the baby's fussing, and I don't want to.
The over under it?
8. For the rest of the year. That's more than once a month, but it's not like once a week. I think you should definitely use that excuse. It's valid. It's real. We thought about adopting a kid just so we could do it. I mean, we were trying to like anything we can to have more excuses. Because now my kids are all getting old enough where they can stay by themselves. It's not a good excuse anymore. Evan in the chat. Yeah, he said about Ask Time is anything. Neighborhood kids often set up lemonade stands. Given your love for it, have you ever patronized a lemonade stand and been brave enough to actually drink the product?
It was a lemonade stand that actually they put it on wheels. This happened like a couple of months ago, and I bought him out.
Oh, was it a kid in the neighborhood?
Yeah, bought him out. The lemonade was actually delicious. I bought the whole pitcher.
See, this is bad because I probably have lack of situational awareness here. Like, yeah, like I don't often stop at lemonade stands and buy stuff, but if I'm in my neighborhood and kids are making lemonade, like,
yeah.
I'll buy it and I'll take a courtesy sip. I may not chug the whole thing just because I know like sometimes.
I was knocking them down like they were shots at the bar. Head back.
I do. Well, how would you know about that? You don't drink.
I watched it enough.
Okay. I see. That's fine. You observe. You can observe me doing that. If we ever go out to a bar, I'll show you how I do it. I get down, dude. Friday, telling you.
You do a tall boy.
I don't know what it is about this World Cup, but it rekindled my love for drinking because I've been back, baby. I was on a dry spell for a while, but I'm back. I went out Friday.
What is your drink of choice?
Oh, dude.
Like beer? Are you doing IPAs? What are you doing?
We went to a bar, watching the USA game, and they had a special like $2 domestics. So we were literally me and a buddy ordering like 2 a piece at a time for $2 a piece. And it was like, I don't know how many times we did that, but like enough to enjoy it is what I'm saying. And then after that, I switched to an old fashioned and it was the best old fashioned I've ever had. Just saying.
Strawberry lemonade.
I'll order you lemonades. You can drive me around. Used to driving Tyvus. You're used to driving Cardale around, so you can drive. Maybe you want to drive me around.
That's the false claim. See, when me and Cardale drive, like, he drives.
He drives you?
Yeah, and then he gets out, and then I get in the driver's seat.
That is bizarre.
Yeah.
I mean, it is his car, I guess.
True.
Yeah.
It's been times
this
that
is why you're used to sitting in the two chair. Because he never lets you drive.
No, it depends on the situation. Sometimes, like, if he on the phone, like, if I'm picking him up and he on the phone, he'll just jump in the passenger seat and we'll just go.
Here's the good news, Tyvus. I'm drunk right now, so you can take over at 8 o'clock. You can drive this show the rest of the time. Fans are apparently so mean in one part of the country, we have to rethink having sporting events there. We'll let you hear the audio of why that is next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
slowdowns now starting to populate over in Dublin. That's because we're still watching that crash on that 270 northbound ramp to 33 westbound. That right shoulder is currently blocked out there for you. For our east side drivers, if you're stepping out the door right now, heading downtown, a heads up, we are seeing a disabled vehicle 70 westbound near that 70-71 split, which is my concern. A lot of people tend to pass this area per usual. That left shoulder is currently blocked. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan traffic.
Common Man and Timmy.
How could we be held responsible for...
We're not.
What the children... Not.
I believe the children are...
Much like smoking cigarettes, there's a warning label on this show.
Common Man and Timmy, afternoons on the Fan, is sponsored by the Hinderer Motor Company. The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Ohio Heating and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
If your kid is complaining about not wanting to go to school, blast the volume on this show. You won't have any more problems. This is T-Bone and Titus.
Coming up at 8 o'clock, a radio experiment we've never tried on this show. Tyvus Powell. Running the board.
Can I do it
running after the one chair.
Can I do it after the 8 o'clock segment?
No, because the 8 o'clock segment, we have a segment.
The huddle is at 8.
Look, let me show you how this... I'm going to show you how to do it. This is a practice run. Listen, here's what you do.
I thought it was in the playlist.
No. You have to play it. Okay. I usually have to play it, but you are at 8 o'clock. You're going to sit here. You're going to turn up channel 5. We're going to unmute channel 5.
Okay.
Keep both microphones on. And then you're going to say something pithy like, yeah, anyway, T-Bone, no, that's how the crookie crumbles.
The biggest questions in the NFL are answered right here.
And then you're going
to
do that.
Welcome to the huddle.
So you just hit the button, and then that happens. And then it plays, and then.
I say, Nate, what do you got for us?
No, and then, yes, you say, Nate, huddle question number one. And then you pull down the little thing here.
I got to do it slow. I got to do it slow like that.
Yeah, and then I'll be like pointing at you like up a little bit, down a little bit, you know. Probably used to that.
Hey, Evan in the chat said I'm going to be mixing the board like Omar Epps is juice. don't get the reference.
I'm probably going to pretend like I forgot I got that reference, but I didn't actually. Didn't get it at all.
You've never seen juice?
No. What is juice?
Oh, man.
Morning juice?
No, juice is
6 to 8 a.m.?
It's one of those blackbusters.
Okay.
It's like one of those movies that every black person has ever seen.
I feel uncomfortable calling it that.
A blackbuster?
I'm perfectly fine with you calling it that. I believe that's totally fine.
It's got Tupac in it.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't see it. Sorry.
Man.
Put it
on your list.
I need to put it on my list. What's the runtime? Are we talking like an hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 hours?
This was back in the 90s. This had to be probably 90 minutes, probably.
What's a quick synopsis of what happens in this movie? What's it about?
Tupac robs a store.
First of all, they all robbed the store.
Okay. But Tupac's character.
Tupac went out of character in the robbery of the store.
What do you mean, went out of character?
Like, they was going in and just robbed the store. Uh-huh. Tupac decided to kill the guy.
Oh.
And he didn't have to.
Okay.
But he had the gun and he had the juice. He had the power. And he was like a little off.
Okay.
So, like, he, like, shot the guy. And they tried to get the gun from him, and then he shoots his friend. And then...
So, the juice is like a substance?
Yeah, you got the juice now.
Like, what does that even
mean?
It's like you're the top guy. You're the man.
Oh, yeah. I see. Okay. I thought you meant he took
Nate
like
know this and you don't.
I don't know. They'd seen the movie. I haven't seen the movie. Trying to tell you. Watching a little World Cup. My brain is just focused on Mauricio Pochettino. I've got no room for anything else, Tyvus. I'm all World Cup all the time. I saw this about Wyndham Clark. You know, he won the other day.
Oh, yeah. You hate on his father, Randall.
I don't hate on his father. What happened?
A guy who had open heart surgery.
No, his father, who, when did he have the open heart surgery?
24, 2 years ago.
Yeah, okay. So I would hope he's recovered. He flew out on Sunday.
Some people never recover.
That's fine. I understand it's a traumatic difficult experience. I understand. Of course. Yes. So then dad stayed home and didn't come to the U.S. Open. Oh, wait, no. He flew out on Sunday because his son had a 7-shot lead, and he's like, I should probably be there for my kid. He might win a trophy. Then he kind of gave it away a little bit, and he came back and figured it out. But the point is, he's a front runner. His dad is a front runner, and he only shows up when his son wins. When his son's tearing up, Oakmont, he doesn't show up for that. But I'm just, whatever. Anyway, good kid he raised. So people at the U.S. Open, this was at Shinnecock, or as I heard one news reporter call it the other day, not on this station, just somewhere in the internet, they showed a woman who called it Shinnecock, which I thought was a bit unfortunate of a, that's not, it's Shinnecock. Anyway, this, apparently fans there were being so rude to him, a few of them got thrown out because they don't like the fact that Wyndham Clark has kind of been a jerk over the last few years. Wait till they find out about his dad. But anyway, so this is Sky Sports commentator, analyst, Jamie Weir, talking about how mean the crowd was to Wyndham Clark at Shinnecock Hills for the U.S. Open.
I really felt for him during that final round because the crowd were just disgusting. I mean, and this is the second time in 9 months that it's crossed the line. And the other time was in Long Island, New York as well, at the Ryder Cup, which I witnessed at Bethpage last year. There's just no place for it in golf. Shouts of, you know, get in the bunker, cheers when he missed putts, don't choke Wyndham, people were shouting at him, police were evicting fans from the course at times, just liquored up fans who probably wanted to see a close contest, and that's part of the reason why they were just hoping that he would come back towards the pack. But we, as I said, I witnessed it up close at a Ryder Cup there, where obviously, you know, American fans are going to be cheering for America and against Europe. I've never seen an American player on American soil had to deal with what he had to deal with yesterday. And it did cross a line. And, you know, there are question marks whether you can even have tournaments in New York going forward because the New Yorkers are just poisonous. I really felt for him during that final run. Okay, I really felt.
I don't know why he keeps playing. That's insane.
I just see, this is where it's different. Like, I will never know because I'm not a golfer. Like, in my profession, my former profession, chaos is what it is. Like, I thrive in chaos. All the yelling and screaming, you got to block the noise out.
Sure.
So, like, in a golf match, if I was to become a golfer and somebody was yelling, it wouldn't bother me because I'd be so locked into what I'm doing.
Well, it might bother you because it's a mental game. But I get your point, though, is that, like, other sports you have to deal with this all the time. Why can't golfers deal with
Correct.
It? Yeah. I'm right there with you.
I'm all for dunking on New York sports fans, but, oh, no, they booed you.
This is the issue I have with golf, which is, like, come here, show up, turn your phones off, be quiet, wear the right attire, dress a certain way, look a certain way, don't get out of line, don't step on this grass, because this grass is important. That grass is fine, this grass is sacred. It's like, all right, all the rules you got in golf. And then people who go through all the rules still have a little passion for your sport, which is, with passion in sports, you get positive, but you also get negative. It's like a battery that has energy in it. Every energy source you're going to look at that has that kind of stuff, electricity, has a positive and a negative. You cannot get the energy of positive and expect that you will never get the negative. And I think that is such short-sighted BS from anyone in sports who thinks that.
All because he destroyed a locker room.
Well, that and like you know, this analyst brought up, that like maybe they just wanted to see a closer contest because he was kind of running away with it. But either way, like, yeah, I mean, you don't need to harass the guy. I don't think you need to like talk about his family or stuff like that, but the idea that like people weren't cheering loudly enough for him, we should take golf tournaments away from like Long Island because shut up, man. The passion is what you should want in golf. You should want passionate fans to be there, and yeah, they can't cross a line. I don't think it's crossing a line to like not cheer loud. The part of the problem was he hit like the winning putt and sealed it up for himself on 18, and people were just like, all right, good job, I guess. They weren't like over the moon like when Rory won the Masters, so apparently now the golf people are all mad that they weren't super ecstatic for Wyndham Clark. His own dad wasn't excited. Why should the fans be? The Huddle's coming up next. Tyvus taking the one chair next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Well, backups really forming in our southeast side, just outside of Canal Winchester, 33 eastbound. So just outside of downtown at Pickerington Road, that left lane is blocked. So keep that in mind as you're heading out the door and leaving the house right now. Also, for our friends traveling eastbound on 670, boy, do I feel for you. We are seeing repairs continuing at 5th Avenue, US 62. That right lane is blocked, just in case you're heading out towards that airport. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan traffic.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Nate Putterball, your sports update. The NBA draft was last night, and with the first overall pick, the Wizards took BYU's A.J. DeBanza. Kansas's Darren Peterson didn't wait long, going number two to the Jazz. The Cincinnati Reds fell at home last night 2-0 to the Brewers. Milwaukee's Brandon Sprott had a career-high 10 strikeouts. They'll square off again today at 7-10. The Cleveland Guardians have fallen a game behind the White Sox in the AL Central after dropping their game in Chicago 2-1. They'll continue that series this afternoon at 2-10. Busy World Cup action today sees Bosnia-Herzegovina take on Qatar, Canada versus Switzerland, Haiti square off with Morocco, Brazil and Scotland, South Korea versus South Africa, and Mexico taking on Chechnya. This update brought to us by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Take strokes off your game by taking pounds off your frame with Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Results this summer with the solution for weight loss, awaken180weightloss.com. Bringing sports news and weapons to the fan, Ohio Sports Destination.
One of these men is bald and fat. The other is T-Bone. You're listening to T-Bone and Tybus.
Welcome back to T-Bone and Tybus. And if you are joining this experiment, oh, you are in for a treat, because T-Bone has decided, since he and Fish decide to go on a business trip, they said, well, let's put Tybus in the one chair. Now,
because next week you and Joshua Perry,
yes, me and
together.
Josh will be in.
Well, someone's
got
to be responsible in the and be in the one chair, and I think that should be you.
You don't think Josh is more responsible than me?
He may be, but you are. Your name's
on
the show.
Yeah, we didn't choose the lawyer.
So now I'm sitting over here, and this is a whole new world. You know, to have all these buttons at my disposal, like I don't know what to do with myself. I can actually play the sound, which is, let me make sure I got it right.
I want me some glory hole.
Oh, I knew you'd go for that one first.
I saw it coming immediately.
I feel the power over here. This is great. This is actually, I'm actually having a good time over here. So yes, for the rest of the show, I will be in the one chair. And we're going to see how it goes. I'll let the fans judge me at the end of this. Well, I'll be in the YouTube chat. And if you see me typing, it's not me. T-Bone has taken over my computer and has typed as me.
We're still logged in.
Well, in the chat.
Tyvus Pal 23, just like 5 minutes ago, said Wagwan. And I think that was a great thing that he said.
I instantly died laughing when I saw that. You are hilarious.
Well, you have mine. You can say stuff in the YouTube chat as me if you want I guess.
Well, I feel like that's a lot. See, I see, like, to try to do that, to play the sound, to make sure that we on, like, that's a lot. It's a lot going on over here. So I see why you don't be in the YouTube chat as much.
Chris G in the chat said, T-Bone, don't interrupt the one chair. Show some respect. That's right. I apologize, Tavis. I did cut you off.
Well, it doesn't matter, because we have a segment and we have something called The Huddle coming up.
The biggest questions in the NFL are answered right here. Welcome to The Huddle.
Sponsored by Advent. Go to adventknows.com, because Advent knows when you breathe well, you live better.
All right, Nate, what's question one? What's huddle question one for us?
All right, we've been talking about this Brendan Sorsby thing all morning, but the real question for both of you is, did the NFL make the right decision?
Yeah. Yes, they did. I don't care what nobody says. I think that you have to make a hard precedent on gambling is bad. And I think that I even tweeted it out. I was saying, like, When he got the judge gave him that junction and allowed him to be able to play, I said, well, if that's the case, if I'm a player, I'm flipping my NIL money, because all I'm going to do is find a judge to grant me a season. I'm going to play that season and then I'm going to leave before we can even go to the courts and all that. So to me, I think that everybody, I love the fact that the Big 12 came together on it and said, no, we're not going to put up with that. And I like the fact that the NFL is like, we can't let somebody get away with it, because if you crack the door open for somebody, somebody eventually is going to kick that door open. So I like the fact that they slamming the door shut.
Yeah, I tend to think that rules should matter, especially when it comes to, you know, gambling on sports. I don't like the fact the NCAA basically got told by a judge they can't even enforce their rule on the number one rule everyone has in every sport. Good for the NFL saying, sorry, not our problem. That's your problem. You gambled. You're the one who racked up $90,000 in bets. And again, if you have a gambling addiction, great. Go handle that. Why are you trying to handle it with workouts and interviews with GMs? Don't you have a problem that needs fixed? We're not here to sustain that or to help that. No supplemental draft this year. Good luck going forward. We'll see you in 2027 when you're eligible for the actual draft. You can come back then. Could have been in this year's draft, by the way, couldn't he?
He should be. That's the thing. And that's
could have
that's
gone this year if he was so good.
Me. It's like, dude, you knew you gambled.
Yeah.
Why would you not leave? Why would you? That listen, this is advice for anybody, any player out there that's doing some stuff illegally. If you know you're doing something illegally, you better leave that that season because it's going to catch up to you.
Yeah,
so 100%. That was dumb. All right, Nate, huddle question number two.
George Kittle has been watching the World Cup. He was on Part of My Take, and he had this to say. If you can put grass in MetLife and in SoFi, I think you could do that year-round if you really gave a blank.
That's fair. I know how you feel about that.
You know, I love natural grass. All about that grass.
I think that, well, first of all, when you showed me, where was it at where they grow the grass in the field?
What do you mean?
Like it goes underground?
Oh, yeah. That's Real Madrid, I want to say. The Bernabeu. Their stadium, they take sections of this. It's on trays.
Yes.
And it's all together when it's, obviously, when they're playing on it. But then each tray slides down to an underground compartment where they put grow lamps and water on it. It's all monitored 24/7. They have people that go underground and tend to it. Mowed underground, all that stuff.
If you could put an estimate on it, how much do you think that costs to do that?
Oh, I know that stadium when they rebuilt it a few years ago, it was in the billions of dollars.
No, but I'm saying just the grass
part. It's probably hundreds of millions of dollars to manage.
I feel like we halfway there. We cut the salary of Roger Goodell from $64 million. There are some millions right there for you to be able to take care of your players. I mean, this is something that makes multi-billion dollars every season. You should take care of the one thing that makes you the money, and that's the players.
Well, the real thing is, too, even if they don't have a system that elaborate, they're growing grass right now in some of these domed stadiums that they are playing in because FIFA requires that. Mm-hmm. The way they're doing it is by rolling out the same things they have. If you go to a crew game, they have lamps and stuff that the crew bought, and they roll them out every night, and they put, you know, a specific amount of sunlight on there to make sure the grass grows properly. They have a watering system. They mow it. They have people who are trained to do that. You could do that at Jerry World. You could do that if you wanted to at SoFi. Yeah. You could put real grass in there. And with these hybrid grass systems anyway, some of them are like real grass with artificial stuff weaved in there to give it a little bit more feel. Like,
you
can do all this stuff if they really wanted to. They don't want to because it's cheaper to do turf.
Did I ever tell you how they did us in San Fran, how it worked?
No.
So in San Fran, how they did it was at the beginning of the season, so like training camp, they would roll out a new grass field.
Okay.
And that was the grass field that you practice on the entire year. So by the time, if you look at practice one to like the last the last week of practice for the season, that grass was tore up. But we still had to practice it because they wasn't going to roll out another fresh set of grass until the following year.
At the practice facility.
At the practice facility, which is right outside the stadium.
And right outside the power station.
Yeah.
Where all of your soft tissue was getting fried by the electricity.
Allegedly. All right, Nate, we got time for one more. You got a quick one for us?
Let's just make fun of a terrible quarterback. J.J. McCarthy has been ouchy and bad in his career. And this offseason, the Vikings brought in Carson Wentz and Kyler Murray. Will J.J. start a game this year?
Yes.
You chose
violence. I love this question.
He's going to start a game. I think that at some point, because he's under contract, you only got Kyler for 1 year. So I think that Kyler might start the season. Kyler gets hurt. So I think that at some point, J.J. is going to play.
I wouldn't doubt that he will play and start. Do I think any of it will change his trajectory? No. I think he's going to be what you kind of see now, a guy who shows flashes, who has ability to have a quarter or a half where, wow, he really showed up and looked good. But reality is he's a limited quarterback who I've always questioned his arm strength, and he's always won when he played at Michigan. It's a place where they said, we got a great defense, great run game, just don't screw it up. Minnesota, you got two awesome wide receivers, two of the best in the business.
But they don't have a run game.
Don't have a run game, but you also have a great passing game coordinator. Like, the situation is, in an NFL sense, easy. Air quotes I'm using here. Nothing's easy in the NFL. But for a quarterback, you could do a lot worse than the situation you have in the Vikings. With the defense they have, the wide receivers they have, yes, he could probably use help in the run game. But if you can't succeed there, you're probably not going to be a successful starting NFL quarterback. So,
well, you know who can use some help? Brendan Sorsby. He's getting help from his attorneys because they responded to the NFL canceling the supplemental draft. You'll hear what he says next right here on T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and welcome to this Wednesday. We are seeing a crash over here that's causing some backups over on the east side as you're approaching that airport. 270 northbound passing East Broad Street. Expect some closures and some delays about 10 minutes so far on this early Wednesday morning. Just get off 270 really over to Main Street, then take South Hamilton Road all the way northbound towards the airport and then use that ramp to head back northbound over on 270. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan traffic.
What's the best way to make sure you don't miss any of your favorite fan shows?
Oh, no.
Download the Fan app, silly.
Ah, damn it, I knew that.
App Store, Google Play, or just scream right at your phone.
Psst. You can also listen to Buckeye Games. Do it now.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast. I'd grab a light jacket as you head out the door, as it will be very refreshing this morning with wake-up temperatures in the 50s. But this afternoon, a summer day with mostly sunny skies and highs in the low 80s. For tonight, skies turn partly cloudy overnight with our lows down into the 60s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
There's nothing Bo Bishop can't do well, except find competent co-hosts. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan.
Just a reminder, Tyvus thinks all pizza tastes the same. Also a reminder, Tyvus was born without taste buds. You're listening to Bone and Tyvus.
You know, there's a big difference between getting a prescription and getting a plan. When it comes to weight loss, most people already know there isn't a magic solution. Real results usually come from having the right strategy, the right support, and medical professionals helping guide the process. And now, Tri-State Men's Health is offering telehealth for their medical weight loss program for men and women. They start by taking the time to understand your particular health situation, your goals, and your long-term success before recommending treatment options. They use advanced medical strategies that are medically supervised to help achieve your goals for your particular situation. Plus, they have a they have medical solutions that can potentially take you even further towards your body composition goals. The best part is that there is no cost for your initial consultations. So don't just get a prescription. Get a plan from Tri-State Men's Health. Call 800-900-9654 today. Featured therapies are combined and have not been approved nor evaluated for safety, effectiveness, or quality by the FDA. Evaluation of prescriptions from a licensed medical provider requires see websites for details.
I feel like since you two switched chairs, Bone should read that as Tyvus.
Yeah. Tyvus is sitting in the one chair today. He's running the board. He's getting us in and out of breaks.
Why is your thing loose?
I know. It's probably breaking. So let's not break it more. I don't know. I think it needs, it probably needs replaced.
Let me just do that.
Yeah, good for you. Trying to fix things over there. Yeah, so Tyvus, if you've missed this, next week I'll be off for a couple days, Wednesday and Thursday. Joshua Perry and Tyvus are going to host together. So we're getting Tyvus ready by letting him sit in the one chair so he can host, run the board, play stupid sound bites, do whatever he wants to do. It's all up to him.
The sound bites is, Nate was right. This is pretty,
it's a power trip.
It is.
I'm wet. I'm dirty.
Everybody knows that's my favorite one. Like, to see it all.
I want me some glory help.
Like, this is unbelievable.
By the way, I just noticed what you put in the YouTube chat. Man, this Tyvus guy, this is from Degenerate T-Bone. Man, this guy stinks. Tyvus, I miss being with Common Man so much where I didn't have to worry about pressing buttons. That's Tyvus typing that from my computer.
Okay, right. Let me set this up.
No.
So if you missed it, Brendan Sorsby, the NFL has come out and said, Brendan Sorsby, you cannot go into the supplemental draft. There is no supplemental draft.
And yeah, we don't have to do it if we don't want to.
That's correct. And I think the last time they did it was 23, I think it was. I can't remember what it was.
Was it 2023? I don't remember.
I don't remember. It was a while. It was a long time ago. Let's just say that. Because everybody's gone in the NFL draft. So since they canceled it, Brendan Sorsby has ran to his attorney, Jeffrey Kessler, and he's complained about it. In late April, we inquired with the NFL about the process for gaining entry into the supplemental draft. The response from the league was that all that was required was a short application, which needed to be submitted prior to June 22nd. At no point did the NFL indicate that there would need or want to review anything other than the application itself, or that submitting the application at close to the deadline would have any impact on the NFL's considerations.
Well, for those who didn't see it yesterday, what the NFL sent to his lawyers and to Brendan Sorsby was, hey, yeah, you submitted this 3 days beforehand. You gave us no chance to review anything, and we don't feel comfortable moving forward given all the issues you have as a gambling addict, which, of course, is, you know, something you can have, and we support your recovery there, but doesn't mean we have to let you play in our league.
Was he only in the rehab for 30 days?
I think he went for like a 30-day, and I was inpatient. I mean, I don't want to diminish that can be important, but it did almost feel like an afterthought.
Does the amount, like the amount that he wagered on the bet, factor in for you? Because I think I was on Twitter yesterday or either one of these days, and they were talking about like we shouldn't look at it as that, because this is a guy who plays like $35 bets, and it's not like he was betting $5,000. Does that make it any different
for me? That doesn't change it though, because all right, we're not talking about a guy who's in his 60s who over the course of 40 years of legalized gambling spent $90,000, which would sound still not great, but that would mean like, yeah, you're right. That's probably more of like a retail gambler who's spending a little money here and there for fun, maybe drops a few hundred dollars on a Super Bowl weekend because he's interested in the game. I could understand that over the course of a very long period of time. This guy's only in college for what, 3 years? Technically of the age where I don't think he'd be allowed to gamble for some of that time. How old is Brendan Sorsby? Like 22 years old? Every ad you will hear for gambling, every casino that has sports gambling says what? Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or whatever the number is. Like, the point is, they all have a rule that says you have to be over 21. That's been completely shuffled under the whole carpet here, is that this guy bet illegally. So that's a problem too. Might be something he'll legally have to deal with at some point. But like, the fact he's only been of age, even close to the age where you might be legally allowed to gamble, and he spent $90,000. Yeah, he didn't drop. He's not being, to your point, he's not getting bags of cash from illegal bookies who are getting him to throw games. Does call his judgment into question. But regardless, he's done all that when it's illegal for him to do. Is that not right? It's illegal for him to do as a not 21-year-old.
Do you look at it
as someone who plays college football? It's not legal for him either.
Do you look at it as a sign of immaturity? Because this is he did it as a freshman, right? Where he was redshirting.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you can chalk it up to that. You can, and that will be the way he comes out of this, is to say, I'm a changed person. Like, I was a stupid kid. I had a bunch of money.
You don't believe him?
Well, whether I don't. I'm cynical. But no, but okay. Let me try to be positive here.
This is a young kid just being a kid.
He can be okay, but on that same line, because I've heard this argument too, and this all ties in. I've heard this argument about like, well, don't you think, like Mike Florio's been big on this, where's the NFL when it comes to, they advertise this gambling, yeah, but God AR forbid.
Hit me with that yesterday. He said, don't you think it's hypocritical of the NFL to do this, although they're in bed with the gambling sites and all that?
Here's
you
go ahead.
Listen, as a player, I know. It was literally the one thing I wouldn't go to the casino. I ain't bet nothing because you know it's done. If you get caught gambling, it's done.
Right.
So, like, the fact that anybody would even try it, like, I really don't have a judgment for it. And this was before NIL and all this and all that stuff. Like, this was before the gambling companies, sports betting was legal and all that.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm not even about to test it. And on top of that, like, the NFL is so lenient, they let you bet, just not on football.
You can
bet on everything, just not football.
You can bet on basketball even, but whatever sport you want to, baseball, hockey, it's all good, just can't bet on the NFL. College, they did have a rule that said you could not, at the time he was doing this, you cannot bet on anything. Like, no gambling whatsoever. And then they changed it to, all right, as long as it's not college sports, not just college football, but college sports, you couldn't do that. But the bigger issue I have is when people bring up, like, well, what about the fact they advertise this stuff? Well, they advertise Budweiser and beers all the time. Do you think they want their players getting drunk in cars and then driving around and, you know, running off the road? No, of course not. Like, there is a way to legally and responsibly use certain substances or to gamble or whatever the case is. They can take advertising dollars from it. And again, I'm not saying all that's necessarily the cleanest picture in the world. If you think it's weird that sports are in bed with sports gambling, I understand that completely. However, just because the NFL takes money or college football takes money from alcohol sponsors doesn't mean they want people who participate in those sports getting drunk and driving. That would obviously not be okay. So there's a limit to what you can and can't do with any of that stuff.
The question that comes up is now, what happens with Sorsby? If you're Brandon Sorsby, do you do the Jamar Chase where you take the year off and train? Or do you try? I wonder if there's like a way he can come into the NFL as a free agent.
I already have seen people post, and I don't know the legal reasoning behind it, but I've seen multiple people post like he is not eligible to be a free agent. That is not allowed. I don't know why that's not allowed, because I don't know. I guess the NFL would have to fight that in court. His attorney, Jeffrey Kessler, who sent that letter you read, Jeffrey Kessler is also the number one outside legal expert that the NFLPA uses when they want to sue the NFL. Like, he's sued the NFL dozens of times with the NFLPA. So this is interesting, because if the NFLPA is going to align with him, sure, there could be more, you know, legal battles in court. What's best for him to do, and this is going to sound crazy, is to maybe go get the actual treatment you need for your gambling addiction, lay low for a year, count your $5 million you got from Texas Tech, and get ready to be a quarterback.
Oh, they gave him the money?
Supposedly, that was the whole thing, was they said they're not going to recoup. Well, I don't know how much of it he got. Maybe he didn't get all of it.
Is this what I don't know about?
They said he was going to not, they were not going to, what's his name? Clay, or is it Cody Campbell? Cody Campbell, I think. The guy who's the big booster at Texas Tech said he's not going after getting the NIL money.
So that $5 million, nothing to him. That's just like $5, huh?
Yeah. So
if that's the case, let me borrow something then.
There's also nothing stopping him from playing for like the CFL or UFL next year.
I'm about to say Columbus Aviators.
Go do that if you want to.
Come on down.
The reality is, at some point, maybe the adults around Brendan Sorsby will realize, hey, this guy may just have to take his medicine. It feels like all the adults are doing him no good service right now. They're all telling him, hey, you don't have to pay for your crimes. You don't have to actually suffer consequences for this. Someone should get in his ear and say, sometimes you just got to take the L. You know what I mean? As a quarterback, sometimes you just got to throw it out of bounds and say, live to play another down. This is not our day. Like, you're not going to win this, it doesn't sound like. So take the L, get ready for the draft next year. That's what I would advise him if I were in his camp.
Well, speaking of taking the L, college sports changed once again in a big way yesterday. Maybe. We'll discuss it in 2 minutes. This is T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
To our southwest corner, here we go. We are still watching a crash for you, 270 eastbound, just passing that 71 spot. That right shoulder is blocked, but looking a lot better when it comes to drive times. Still watching this one as well in our northwest corner. This is over by Dublin. It's affecting that 270 northbound ramp. That's a crash to 33 westbound. That right shoulder is also blocked. And a heads up for our friends traveling 670 eastbound. Yet again, repairs over by 5th Avenue. That right lane is blocked. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan traffic.
T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast. CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Sometimes when Tyvus wears khaki pants, I can see the outline of his genitals. There's no joke there. It's just an observation.
God, the more I resist, the more intriguing they become. I can't look away.
You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
So Fish just popped in here, and I asked him, you know, how's it going? What do you think? And the only thing he could look me in my eye and say is,
yes,
And I said, yeah, I kind of agree with you. You know, this one chair thing is a whole new world. But you know what? Listen, you can listen to us at home. If you think we bad in the radio, oh, just wait till you get home and put us on the big screen. Because you don't need the radio. All you need to do is tell your smart speaker to play 97.1 The Fan, and it's that easy. Boom, we'll pop right up there, and you can not only will you hear us, you can see how terrible I look over here in this one chair.
Yeah, that's not the case. However, Tyvus, yeah, he's filling in on the one chair today. I'm moved over to the two chair. So Tyvus has all the sound bites. Tyvus is doing all the X's and O's of running the board, all that stuff for the show, because next week, see, look at that.
That one is disgusting.
He found the farts. That one's bassy, isn't it? That's a thick one. That is a thick boy.
That's all right, let me lock in.
Yeah, thank you, Chet. But next week, Tyvus and Joshua Perry for 2 days, Wednesday and Thursday, I will be gone. And so the two of you are going to do the show together, and we figured your name's on the show. You have to someone has to sit in the one chair. I think it should be you.
I think Josh should do it.
Well, you guys can swap that out.
I wonder, has
once
Josh
I'm
ever,
gone, he can do whatever he wants,
Josh,
I guess.
Josh does all this TV broadcasting. He ain't never been the main host.
Well, even if you're a main host on TV, that's different. You sit in the
it's
chair.
About to say. No, well, you got a point guard this thing.
You do, that's true, but then you sit in the
chair. I ain't no point guard. I'm a point guide.
All right. Yeah, God Sham God is over here. No, but you're like, I'm saying on TV, you still have like producers and other stuff who, when you say like, and now the video, they do it.
Yeah, but
you don't have, when you do one chair and radio, you have to push all the buttons to make it work.
Yeah, that's true.
At least if you have a producer like Dylan.
It's different.
Nate's here today, so we don't actually have to do that. Nate's hitting a lot of buttons for us today, but yeah.
That's right. Absolute drunken orgies.
There we go. Thank you, Karen A. Holbrook. Thank you so much.
It's some wild ones. Anyway.
Oh, yes, of course.
So, yes, college football has changed. College sports has changed. If you missed this yesterday, they came out with, under the new rules, players will be granted 5 years of eligibility to be completed within 5 years of high school graduation or an athlete's 19th birthday, whichever comes first. There will be limited exceptions for factors like religious missions, maternity leave, and military services.
Okay, so this is the 5 for 5 rule, which every time I hear it, I think sponsored by Arby's, because I so want that to come back.
That you need to let that die.
Nate, you know about the 5 for 5.
I enjoy the 5 for 5.
You did that?
Didn't everyone in our age in college?
Yes, we did.
Nate, you ate 5 of them, Sam, in one sitting?
I have once or twice, yeah.
Nate, don't shy away from it. I have. Tyvus is trying to shave. Tyvus does this with like...
I'm not shaving anybody. I'm shaving. It's ridiculous.
Tyvus says, you ate a whole croissant? A whole one? You didn't eat just half of one?
That's different.
You can have less than one?
Like I said.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
For the 5 for 5, if you eat more than 2, that's ridiculous.
Why?
That's ridiculous.
What's the rule?
It's not even about the fact that you're hungry anymore. You're doing it for the challenge.
I spent
$5. I'm not wasting it.
Exactly right.
I think it's something that you can save for, like, you buy it at lunchtime, and now you got lunch and dinner.
Not as good to reheat.
No, you can't reheat Arby's.
No. You can barely eat it. I'm just saying, reheating is probably not the best. All I'm saying, Tyvus, is show me the statute. Show me the local law that says I can't have 5 for 5. I will do it if it's there. But this 5 for 5 means now, basically, we're done with... Oh, I won a 7th year. I won an 8th year. I had 3 knee surgeries.
Trinidad Chambliss is done.
Well, he still can play this year,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
But then Trinidad Chambliss situation.
I'm sure it's like, is it like the freshman that's coming in, it starts with them?
I think that's...
Or is it like...
It probably is rolling with, like, maybe there's a certain cutoff year. But yeah, I found the religious thing interesting because the first thought I had when I saw this was... No joke, I thought about BYU, because they have kids that go to BYU who go on the church, you go on a religious mission, and that's like 2 years of service. How do you work that in? And I'm sure there's different exceptions, right? But like, at least now it says they do have those exceptions built in, if that's something you choose.
You know what? When you, military service, wasn't it a guy who played last year for the Army? Or was it the Navy?
Okay.
And he wanted to go to the draft, and they said, no, you got to go.
Oh, yeah.
Do
there was
something.
It was a couple years ago. You're right. He was a service academy kid.
Yeah.
Grown man. But, like, he had played well enough that the NFL was looking at him.
Yeah, he was going to be like a second round pick, maybe.
I, You know what?
I don't know what happened.
Here's the problem. I know what you're talking about vaguely enough to say something like, I remember that. Then I have to go look up and see what it actually is. My guess is I feel like they somehow came in and said, it's all right. You don't have to do that. I think somehow the service academies worked that out. Because, I mean, I know back in the day, David Robinson had to do that, right? He had to go for a couple years. He was, you know, the admiral. He had to go do that. And then he eventually had to play in the NBA.
He didn't get his name for nothing.
Right. But like, I cannot remember that dude's name. If you know it, put it in the YouTube chat. YouTube, 971 The Fan, T-Bone and Tyvus. You can drop it in there. But.
Anyways, in effect, the new rules also eliminates red shirts across college sports. Under the previous system, athletes have 5 years to compete over 4 years. There would not be further waivers for injury or any circumstances.
So we're done with red shirts, basically. Which means, so you get to play, technically.
Then you get to play like six games, or is it four games?
It was four. Remember a couple years ago, they opened it up where you could play up to four games. Well, it was probably before that where they said you can play up to four games without burning the red shirt. Like, I always like that term, burn the red shirt. Oh man, we burned his red shirt in this game because that's how good he is.
So now there is no burden. There's
no red shirt. Which is kind of a seismic change to college sports, right? That I don't know how many of these guys there are going to be going forward.
But I feel like a lot of players play. It's the quarterbacks is the ones that get affected the most by this.
Yeah, especially if you're a freshman or sophomore where it's like, well, by the time you're a junior, we'll be ready to look at you. Like, that is something real where maybe that changes where quarterbacks say, I could go play for 5 years and get a lot of chances. I'd rather go play somewhere smaller, get some seasoning, get some learning, and then the bigger schools call me and now I'm a junior and I can go get NIL money and have 3 more years of eligibility possibly, especially if you're a guy who that may be all you do is play college sports and you may never make it to the NFL, which is fine. Now in the era of NIL, I would think you'd want to get all, you know, play as many years as you can so you can get paid as many times as you can. But yeah, the red shirt thing going away is interesting. I don't know how many players there are going to be, Tyvus, that like would be a 5 year player. You know what I'm saying? Like 5 years at one school.
I don't think that's Bruce Thornton.
Bruce is the guy that this rule, if it had just 12 months ago, if they could have put this rule in place and got it signed off on, Bruce Thornton could come back and play college basketball this year. He can't. This rule does not apply to anybody previously, good or bad. Like we said, it doesn't apply to Trinidad Chambliss, doesn't apply to Bruce Thornton, but which sucks because I would love to have him back for another year.
All I know is all across sports, they schedule these cupcake games. That's when everybody, whether you was going red shirt or not, we're going to see a lot of young people playing in those games because you got to get them experience. And the only way to get them that in-game experience is to put them in the game. So
I think this is going to create an urgency for a lot of players who thought in the past, like, well, if it doesn't work out this year, I have a red shirt year, then if I get injured in any way,
who thinks of that though? Like that's where is it at? Hold on, that's what that is.
It is.
Any player that came in and said, "You know what? I'm gonna just red shirt. I want a red shirt."
Not wanting to, but if they're told by their coaches, "Hey, don't worry, we got a plan for you. You're gonna red shirt this year. Next year, you're gonna play." And then next year comes, and it's like, "Hey, well, you got that injury. We could actually have you just sit out this year. You get a medical red shirt. You know, like." I'm sure those conversations have happened.
It didn't happen now, with me. You know how I learned I was redshirting?
How'd you learn?
We were playing Miami of Ohio, game one of 2012. Hmm. And I was the two on kickoff.
Okay.
So I was backing up Orrin Johnson. He was on kickoff. I was his backup. We went up by a lot of points in the second half. They said, two kickoff is up. I went to go up there. And OJ was like, no. I'm like, what? What you mean? He like, no, go over there. And they put somebody else in.
Oh.
So I was upset. So I'm like, what's going on? So I holler at Coach Meyer and I say, hey, what is you mad at me or something? Did I do something? Why you ain't put me in? He go, because you redshirting this year. I said, well, thank you for telling me. thank you for telling me. So that's how I learned that I was redshirting my freshman year. So there you go.
What did he call that? Life in the big city?
I guess.
Life comes at you fast? Yeah, something like that, man. That's, wow. Well, that's gone now. That's not happening.
Yeah, those days are over with. So you better learn how to play real fast. All right, we'll wrap up the show with Bo Bishop and hit the buzzer when we get back. This is T-Bone and Tyvus on 97.1 The Fan.
Fan Traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning to you. Traffic getting a whole lot slower as you're approaching the downtown area from the southwest side. We are seeing a crash on 71 northbound passing Frank Road. That left shoulder is slightly restricted out there. But here's the thing, 19 miles per hour. Yes, this is your speeds. And once again, the backup's now extending towards Frank Road this morning. So pack some patience as you're making your way towards the metro. Still watching this crash over on the east side too. 270 northbound passing East Broad Street. Expect those delays out there as well. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan traffic.
Come. Your favorite fan shows are available as a podcast. What a concept. And don't miss exclusive podcast content like Austin and Burn. Listen on your schedule from anywhere in the world. Available wherever you get your podcasts. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Tyvis Powell helped the Buckeyes win a national championship. T-Bone watched Tyvis Powell help the Buckeyes win a national championship. Equally important, you're listening to T-Bone and Tyvis.
Joining the program, everybody's favorite uncle, Bo Bishop.
You're back.
Yeah. Bo, listen, when your kids was young, did you ever get peed on?
Oh,
what a way
worst
to start.
One of these O'Hare Airport on the way back from Montana. And I saw, I think it was just NBC. It was NBC. And so we had one of those carry on strollers that like folds up small and you put it in the overhead. Mm-hmm. And then you had the big one that you would, I mean, it was like packing to go, summit Everest anytime you traveled when they were really little, especially when we had three of them. And I remember, I looked down at the stroller and there was brown liquidy stuff just dripping out of it, and I went, oh my god, where do we go now? And my wife and I looked at each other, and I picked him up and she handed me a blankie thing, and I swaddled him up a little bit, and it just kept coming. And so I sprinted to the Delta Lounge. We sprinted into there, and then thank god at least they have like some private bathrooms and family bathrooms. So I got in there and got it sorted out, and then it was like, okay, now we don't have a stroller, and we don't really have a change of clothes for him. So now I guess on this last trip of the last leg of the flight, thank god it was only from Chicago to Columbus as opposed to Chicago to Montana going out, but we just put him in like a blanket. And, you put the diaper on, he was just in a blanket the rest of the way. That was the worst one. So that peed on. Yep. Absolutely. I mean, every time you change them with the little boys, right? Pretty much. That happens all the time. Like you change them and then they, you know, that's, you unleash that diaper and then they're like, hey, well, how about this, dad?
I was doing a great job of dodging it, but like my wife was the one that it happened to her, seems every time she was about to change him, he would pee on her. Yeah. And I would sit there and I would laugh. And then what happened was, I've only been peed on once, and this was because, and it was my fault. I was showing her this funny video on Instagram, and like while I was showing her the video, we had just given him a bath, so he's sitting there like, all right, where's my towel? But I'm showing her the video, and he just started peeing, and he peed on my shirt. And I was like, dang, because I was having so much fun. I was like, it's just you. It's just you, honey. It's not, he loves me. Yeah. And yeah, he gave me that equal thing. So I have been welcome into that.
The getting rid of equipment, Bo, like that. I, as a parent, when you have young kids, there are times where you're like, okay, maybe we can salvage this. Maybe we can clean it. We had one like that with a pack and play. You know, those were the little, the little fold out play pins for people who don't know. You can put little kids in them and they carry up pretty easily. You can pack them away. That's why they're called that.
But they're kid prisons.
Yes, exactly. But we had one on a vacation that we went on, and we were getting ready to drive back from Florida because this is where we were in life. We were driving back, and that was its own little headache. But we were getting ready to leave that morning, and it was one of those where just not salvageable. Everything was a mess. And instead of trying to clean it, put it in the car, and then drive with it, we said, it's going in the trash. And then we just...
You threw it away?
Oh, we threw it away. Because it was broke. I assume the stroller didn't make it back from O'Hare.
No, God, no. I left it in the Delta Lounge at O'Hare.
You didn't want to clean the stroller?
No, you just cut your losses at some point. You have to.
Man, it's $100.
You have to value your own time at some point, you know? And I don't... No. It's not worth $100 or whatever it would be to get a new one for me to clean that thing.
But
no,
I got a question. I guess this one would be more for your wife. When your kids were younger, because I get this question about my daughters, if your son had to go to the bathroom, which bathroom would she take them in?
She would take them into the women's, and then if there were family, then you'd do that. But, I mean, for the most part, I would do it, but she would take them into the women's or most places. I mean, I'm just like Airport World and all of those have family bathrooms.
Yeah.
But if you were at a restaurant or whatever, she would go in the women's.
Okay.
Yeah, cause I can't have a grown woman going into the men's bathroom.
See, that's what I, so the question was, they asked me this the other day and I said, well, usually if I'm with my daughter, I take her to the men's, but I hear that you absolutely can't go to the women's bathroom and say, hey, I need to bring my daughter and like give the announcement and make sure that it's okay.
I think that would be rough.
They say you can make the announcement and let them approve.
Yeah.
Oh, they do they?
That's what they say.
I don't think they are right.
I don't have the answer. I've never done it.
There's a situation that I think just happened at like a gas station not too long ago where a dad did something like that because his daughter had to go, but he wanted to, he's by himself. He's traveling cross country with his kids. And somebody came in and got super pissed at him. And he's like, my kid's washing their hands. I'll get out of here. He just didn't want to leave his kid alone in there. The kid was like 4 years old. And it's like, as a dad of daughters, I've had to take him to the men's room at like, I've taken him to like auto races and those bathrooms are not exactly like the friendliest.
There's not better family off going in the women's by yourself.
Well, that's what I'm. But when my kids were younger and I would take them,
what's the age cutoff that you think that they can go on their own and you can wait outside?
Six. My 6 year old now going into the six? Like I'll stand outside the women's bathroom, I'm in earshot in case something goes wrong. She can yell whatever, but like no, she goes in by herself. That's fine. But yeah, it's. Anything under that is tough. It's a dicey proposition.
But what you guys
just took them, yeah.
But what you got coming up on the show today?
How about the NFL yesterday?
Oh yeah,
jeez,
you like that?
Drop the hammer.
They're like the principal and Billy Madison. You could have just said they made it so personal. My God, that was an unbelievable statement by the National Football League. So we'll do a little bit of that. We got a little Hey Guys coming up in the 11 o'clock hour and a little Higher Lower with Best Teams of the 90s at 10 o'clock. So load it up, boys.
Look at that. Everybody, make sure y'all tune in to Bishop in France for the next 3 hours. It's always a pleasure talking to you, Uncle Bo.
The pleasure is all mine, boys.
All right, we're about to hit the buzzer.
Shove it down your throat.
It's time for the buzzer.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services. Don't go through another air conditioner breakdown. For fast, friendly service, call the experts at Logan Services now for a free estimate and next day air installation.
All right. RIP to one Clive Davis. Clive Davis was an American record executive, A&R executive, they would call that. Record producer, lawyer. He passed away a couple days ago in New York City, but I bring him up because he was the president of Columbia Records for many, many years, founded Arista Records and a bunch of other labels you've probably heard of. But here are the names of the people that he either discovered, signed, produced, or all the above. Okay. Pink Floyd, Sly and the Family Stone, Janis Joplin, Santana, Bruce Springsteen, Chicago, Earth, Wind and Fire, Aerosmith, Billy Joel, Bay City Rollers, Luther Vandross, Ace of Base, Gavin DeGraw, and also helped bring to prominence a couple of artists you may have heard of, Barry Manilow and Whitney Houston.
Well,
so that's quite a lineup. Anyway, the man was 94 years old. He was born in New York City, died in New York City, went to New York University and Harvard Law School, and yeah, there you go.
Look at that.
Music legend. Passed away this week.
R.I.P. to him.
R.I.P. to him. That's right.
Well, we got to go to have a meeting with Fish. If I'm back tomorrow, I will be in the two chairs. So I will see y'all tomorrow. Everybody enjoy the rest of y'all Wednesday. That is it for T-Bone and Tyvus on 97.1 The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Closely watching a disabled vehicle for you in southeast Columbus. It is affecting that 70 eastbound ramp to State Route 317, also known as South Hamilton Road. So expect some lane closures and delays this morning. Also, for our friends traveling towards the airport and taking 670 eastbound, we are still another day noticing repairs at that area by 5th Avenue. That right lane is blocked. Traffic cones are in place with that traffic cam. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan traffic. Have a great day.